It's that time again. Yeah. Ya es la hora. You know, power hour. Ponle atención. Class is in session. Tune in for an hour, maybe more. That's a blessing. Learn from the captains and the leadership. Flee from religion, cause some churches never teach them everything you learn for your benefit. Line upon line is a requisite. Never take a deficit. Yeah, that means you take a loss and you spray from the way. You get an understanding if you study every day. Apply what you learn and bless when you pray. It's one interpretation, man, it say what it say. Ya viene el tiempo, entra para el templo, aprende del maestro con talento, la Biblia es el centro, usando a Israel como instrumento, no te pierdas en doctrina como viento, estudia y ora y aplica, tiempo para Dios, ven, hace una cita, escritura dinamita, morenos y hispanos, israelita, oye cómo explica, Israel unido en Cristo para la vida, nunca se divida. Tune in, it's the power hour, learn your family history, don't be a coward, yeah. Tune in, it's the power hour. I said learn your family history, don't be a coward.
Your history to learn, it's the power hour. You learn hour. Tune in to your history, you know it in your history. Power hour. You learn hour. You know where you can get in love hour. Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Captain Joshua.
Soldier Tobias.
And Soldier Eric.
Shalom, shalom to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Good evening on this Wednesday evening. Some of you, this is the late show, right? Like on the East Coast.
Yeah,
right.
7, 8 o'clock.
What's it? What's 7, 8, 9? Well, 9. Like once they flip the time in March, it'll be 10. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like the late show. We got the late slot on the East Coast. Anyway, we are back. Last week, due to new moon, obviously we did not have a broadcast. All right, but we here now. And Lord's will, finally today I can get over these notes that I've had for dang near 2 months here. I know. I actually added a few scriptures today too before the show. It's gonna be even longer. But we got the article that we're gonna review, right? I wanted to bring that out. You know, just as a wake up call to anybody that might tune in and still think that, you know, so called white man is their friendly neighborhood white man.
Right.
You know. We got to remember how they hate us.
Perpetually.
How we're a proverb and a byword wherever we are. You know, you hear a lot of people in America talk about how Europe's so progressive. Hey, yeah, Europe is so different. You know, it's not like that. You know, they basically try to make it seem like our people aren't hated in other parts of the world, that racism is a highly American thing. And it is. I would say it's very strong here. But it's just as strong elsewhere. It's just manifested differently in those places.
They're not as bold.
Yeah.
I pick up Canadian people that say, oh, they treat your people really bad here in America like it's any different there.
Like it's any different over there. Man, it's funny that you say that too, because I was looking at something the other day, and I think it has something to do with Canada and stuff like that. So, you know, Big Car said, I love this show. I'll stay. All praise to the Most High. Is anybody else hearing it low? They said the mics are low. Anybody else hearing it low? See one person say it was low.
Test.
The volume from your end is horrible. Yeah, we got a couple people saying the volume's no good. And I got no monitor here on my end. So I guess I'm just working off my screen for stuff today.
We're pulling it back up, Cap.
Oh, okay. All right. And then what about the sound? Some people are saying no sound. Some saying it's low. Okay, someone said it's better now.
There's some static, though.
See, watch when I turn it up now. They're going to be like, no, it's too loud now.
what about now, some of y'all?
You hear the static, Cap?
Yeah, I do hear a little bit of that. Volume sure good. Know. Someone says the volume's low. All right, I guess I mean, if some of y'all is good, maybe refresh Because some people are saying it's all right. Okay, now I'm seeing goods. I know there's a little bit of a delay. Now I'm seeing good. Okay, all right. Okay, all praise to the Most High. All praise to the Most High. All right. The mega producer is watching from home. He said the sound is good.
All praise.
Mega producer said it's good. Anyway, so let's do some housekeeping. I see we got the fundraising, IUIC.fundraising at IsraelUnite.org on the screen. Let's not forget to support the Booster Club. All right. Obviously, we know everybody in your local camps. Every school needs their alms to pay for the sanctuaries and various things. That's a given. But if you're able, above and beyond that, the Booster Club has done some amazing things since it was invented. Spirit of the Lord put that on some brothers to put it out and promote it and push it some years back. And I think we've traveled to 36 some plus countries, maybe even more. I might be off, since the institution of the Booster Club. In addition to the actual physical travels, though it's been a little slowed down because of pandemic, we use those funds to help support the international radio shows, to help support the congregations that are, not in the, we talk about poverty for us here. I've often spoken about it on the show. It's very different over there. They're not in a position to buy, the cameras, sometimes even the camp attire that they need to go out and teach, camp signs, things like that. So the Booster Club helps support all those type of things, all right? So definitely continue to support, all right? IUIC.fundraising at IsraelUnite.org. Also, support the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page, all right? We can use some subscribers over there. We're trying to reach 15K. I think we're middling in like the high tens right now.
Let's get them up.
Let's really try to push and get the subscriptions up on the IUIC Phoenix YouTube page, all right? Let's support that as well. We forget to talk about the call-in number a lot. Is it up there? I don't see it, I guess, because of the way my screen is set up. Am I going to say it right? I know it's 516-531. Is it 9797? I think
516-531-9797.
Uh-huh. Yes. Call-in number, if you want to call into the show, 516-531-9797. Is it on the screen and I just don't see it? It really probably should be on the screen.
No, sir. There was an adjustment made to the lower third, but we got a new one that's going to be coming for the show soon. Okay. So that way everything's going to be on there.
Soon. That's a highly personal perception of time when you say soon. Right.
Coming soon.
Like soon for you might not mean soon for me, right?
Right.
Like sometimes when there's a movie I really want to see, it says coming soon and it's like 6 months away.
Right.
So soon could mean 6 months from now.
It's very vague.
Right. I don't know. Soon for me is like, I don't know.
Right after the show.
Rare. Now? Yeah. So we'll see how that goes. But hey, man, I don't know if y'all tuned into Bishop Kanai's radio slot on Sunday night.
Yeah, this first
so
one,
he got,
right?
He had the first one Sunday night. I was in and out. I couldn't stay to watch the whole thing. Real good show. Hey, I like how they do the Zoom call, but then I was thinking, I don't think a lot of people will call in because they don't want to put themselves on camera, right? They would be like, nah, man, I don't put myself on camera. But I don't know, it might be something for us to explore where you can also call in via Zoom. Bishop Kanai, definitely, man, just being around that man for some years, always good to kind of get in that mode where, because like, the radio shows are different. I've always said that it's very different. It's an opportunity where we can be more conversational.
Right.
It's not that classroom type of setting where, we have that order and that structure. I mean, it has its own order to show, but, where it's just, you're here, you're learning, you're taking notes.
Right.
There's a little different flow when you're doing a show, and it's nice to see Bishop Kanai in that platform finally. So all praise to the Most High for that. That's on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. All right. Damn, I forgot the name of the show.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to check that
wisdom,
out.
Wisdom
cry if out. Wisdom cry if out. Yep. Oh, Bishop, yeah, what's up? Joined. Hey, Shalom, Bishop. Most High Christ bless you.
Shalom,
and you
Bishop.
Know what? Hey,
Shalom,
and now that I see him on the thing, I realize that I owe him a phone call. I'm sorry, Bishop. I didn't call you Bishop Yassab today. Lord's will, I'll get with you tomorrow, sir.
We had a good class yesterday with the 300 Bishop. Yeah, in the spirit.
Okay, all right. All praises to the Most High. Hey, so I want to jump right in because I do want to be able to go over my topic. Hey, what time did we start? Like 5 minutes after?
Give or take.
All right. I just want to know where we're at. Yeah, I know, Bishop. It's just I feel bad because it's like it just dawned on me right now when I saw you chime in the chat, and I said, "Oh, damn, forgot to call him." Oh my gosh. Anyway, so this isn't our topic for the show, but it'll still set the tone. I've been trying to get over this talk that we got to have. We're gonna talk about conversations that we need to have with our children, and we're gonna continue on that vein. And it's not just our children, right? Meaning our own kids that are little and that we're raising, but even our spiritual children. I had set the tone last week. We'll talk about that again. Those of us, and especially after Bishop Kanai's class, you know, all of us are leaders, whether or not you hold rank, right? You know, I've said this before. If you're here 2 months, you're a leader to the brother that just walked through the door, right? You know? If you're here 6 months, you're a leader to the brother that's 2 months. That's not necessarily rank. There's a breadth of experience. Foundation that's followed after that, they can see that stuff. I thought I was back in the Bronx over there. Like, you know, just some, you know, the street called ski.
Right.
Oh, that's how they did it out here.
In the West Coast.
Ski. I said, what the heck is that sound? Anyway, so it's not just the children. We're gonna deal with children, but there's aspects of what we're gonna go over today that also needs to be taught to our men, and especially because there's this spirit starting here in Babylon, right, which is known as the United States, right? Spiritually, the Bible calls it Babylon, Egypt, and then even abroad as well, as we're gonna see, that this place has a spirit that'll lull you to sleep. Even in this walk, this is why that study, pray, apply is so important. This is why being able to constantly meditate daily in these scriptures are so important.
Right.
Because we still live in a world where we're not on top. That's the reality. All right. Though we know we should be the top now, we're not on top. And what that means is that we're still susceptible to that bewitching of naughtiness. Right. The scripture talks about if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. And the reason that becomes impossible is because those elect will always be washing their minds with these scriptures. That brainwashing is not a one-time thing. It's not when you walk through the door, right, all right, and you're done. I mean, do you shower once,
right,
and then you're done?
Clean,
no. As soon as you're clean, you start to sweat and get dirty again, right?
Right?
And then depending on what you're doing, how much you mire in the muck, you need to get some deeper cleaning, depending on what you're exposed to. That's why the fellowshipping is important. At a minimum, the holy convocation weekly, coming together on those feast days, and even outside of those things, making sure that we socialize with each other. You know, we try to do family events, brother events, and things like that, and start to build that circle of brothers and sisters in this truth who are also building their spirit. Because each and every one of us, no matter how many years, no matter how much experience, one thing I can show you for sure, tell you for sure, is that all of us are in the battle, and none of us are invincible or infallible to the evil communication that corrupts out there. So it's important that we have this type of conversation. Today's topic is titled Black and Brown Men. We need to talk, and we need to continue to refresh our minds and understand the foundation of what grants us eternal life. All right. But before we get into that, I want to talk about this. All right. I saw this on the news feed the other day, and apparently this happened some months back. You recalled it because you mentioned it.
A couple years
all right.
Ago,
yeah. So it says over a selfie. Right. This is a quote, I believe, from the parents of this brother, Bakari Henderson. The headline says they returned to Greece for a retrial on upgraded charges for six European men caught on camera beating the 22-year-old to death. And we're going to, as we read the article, we're going to get into the depths of that so you can understand, all right? So remember I said at the beginning of the show, some people think Europe's progressive, You know, oh yeah, we're not as hated in other places as we are in America. You know, and to some extent that I would say the hatred's everywhere. We know that because that's what the Bible says. It's just not manifested the same way that it is here. But this is one of those cases where it clearly is. And there ain't nowhere, there ain't no place in the earth that you're going to go in these times where you're accepted as a people, except in the little sanctuaries. That's the whole definition of a sanctuary. Right. Let's pull that up real quick, sanctuary, before we get into the article. Definition of sanctuary. It's a very particular term. Like, you've heard, like, they have sanctuary cities. They have sanctuary locations where people can go to, right? Oh, I claim sanctuary, right? Sanctuary. No, you have to put sanctuary definition.
There it is.
All right. A place of refuge or safe. That in the scripture where it says the little sanctuaries, all
right? Right there. Yeah.
And then I also want, let's just gather yourselves together, all right? We're going to go over that real quick before we set this up. Because you got to understand the importance of that, especially there's so many people who don't want a fellowship, who they're anti-camp. Oh, I do this on my own. I do this at home. All right. You need a sanctuary in this earth. You need a sanctuary in this walk. Actually, get the one, gather yourselves together first. All right.
Okay.
Get me that first.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2 and verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
Right. So the Bible commands, we're that nation not desired. As we read this article from the Atlanta Black Star about Brother Bakari, all right, you're going to see how we're not desired across the earth, across the whole earth, all right? Everywhere we go, we're not desired. So it says, gather yourself together, O nation. But gather yourself where? Gather yourself in what? Come on.
Gather yourselves together. Yea, gather together, O nation not desired.
The Bible says we are a nation not desired, and we should gather ourselves together. Read on.
Verse 2. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff.
Right. Telling you, do it now. You must gather yourself together, because why? In that day, we're not going to be a nation not desired. In that day, we're going to be called the sons of the living God.
That's right. Right.
In that day, we're not going to be called Negroes, Spics, all types of bywords. Right. In that day, we're not going to be called a hate group for bringing out the reality of what this is. It'll be accepted all worldwide.
That's right.
All knees will bow because they're going to see the black Messiah, the king.
That's right.
And they're going to see who his people are and who his chosen are. So it's saying you must do this now in this present time because this place is tainted. This place is polluted. Read on.
Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you.
Before the because why? If you try to wait, see, Christianity tells you you can wait till that last moment. And when you see the sky crack open, and Christ is there, you'll be all right. Or you could do it on your deathbed and have no type of repentance in that thing. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Right. I renounce Satan and all his works.
Now let me in heaven.
Right. And kept one commandment.
Nope. notice I know them words, right? I think I've said it on the show before. I remember one time, man, years back, late 90s, I had moved to Florida.
Yeah.
I was all confused in my life, about 18, 19. And I was all confounded, confused in my life. My biological father had found me and my older brother after he left when I was like 5. So I was damn near 20 when I when he came back into the picture, right? And so, you know, I went down there to check it out, see what it was like. He won what I thought he was going to be. You know, it was just something that I had to figure out, because all I had was mom's side all them years. He ain't no good.
Right.
Well, he ain't no good. Turned out he was no good. You know, turn out there was a little bit of both on both sides, all right? But I'm not going to delve too much into that backstory. Anyway, I'm in Florida, 18, 19 years old.
Right.
I'm feeling all types of ways conflicted about life and what the hell's going on. Raised Catholic,
right?
I went to kindergarten through eighth grade Catholic school, right? Then, you know, when I went to public high school, just wild the hell out with some freedom, right? And, you know, I always felt like I remained spiritual, you know. I would always pray to the Most High, understanding now that, right, you know, I'm in sin, so he's not going to be listening to me in that regard, right? And I remember, like, I was just looking for some direction in my life. So I had these Edomite coworkers, man. They was like, hey, yeah, you know, come on. And, you know, and I remember I was in their living room, bro. They stood up around me. They took out an NKJV. I'll never forget it. NKJV.
The hell is this?
I forgot what damn script they read. And I had to recite that stuff. Do you renounce Satan and all his works? Do you renounce this life and this, that? Bro, and then you feeling like you something, man. Right. I remember I started reading my Bible. I'm highlighting precepts. But it wasn't until.
No.
That was a good sound drop. It wasn't until this truth came that I realized the ignorance in what I was doing. Because I went back and I had. That was the Bible I first started learning from. Was that same NKJV. And I had highlights, but the stuff that I was highlighting was like in isolation, and it was all stuff about prosperity and whatever, not really understanding what that prosperity was.
Right.
What those we're going to touch on that, Lord's will, a little bit later as we bring that stuff out. And I remember going through all that stuff and looking for that in my life and thinking that that was some sort of remedy to what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it sure wasn't.
No, sir.
Nope, because I was still out there whoring.
Same stuff.
Wicked as hell.
Yeah. Wicked as hell, right? Go ahead. Where you at? Read it.
Before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you. Before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you.
So it says, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. So we must hasten to that now, but not in everything. And right. So we have a Stephen Corner says it's a tricky topic because of different understandings. Camps expect you to be in agreement. So that's a huge stumbling when it comes to joining one. The agreement that we have to have is in the commandments.
That's right.
The next scripture we're going to bring in Ezekiel about the sanctuaries is going to tell you that. That's why we're not going to see eye to eye, all of us.
Right.
Right now. Doesn't mean the Most High might not be working with certain camps, but hey, Bishop Kanaan has been highlighting some of these camps and some of the stuff they bring out, and you know, I'm not going to try to get into camp wars and things like that, but listen, you can see the difference.
Definitely.
You can see the difference, all
Definitely.
Right? The only agreement that we're going to have here in Israel United in Christ is that you're going to be keeping God's law, statutes, and commandments.
That's right.
And just
That's
like you go
right.
into any place else, there's rules, there's guidelines as to how we gather. You know, you go to a job. You can't go there and say, oh, well, you know, I can't do this.
Right.
I've been through mergers and jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know. I worked for Singular Wireless, which then bought AT&T, and the culture changed a little bit because they were bringing different leaders in, moving different people around.
Right.
If I wanted to stay earning a paycheck, I had to do that, right?
Yeah.
But that's outside the scope of what I'm talking about. We're not talking about all camps gathering together. We're talking about brothers and sisters trying to be alone in this walk. Scripture tells you two are better than one.
That's right.
And if your spirit can't agree with keeping God's law, statutes, and commandments, then there's some inward reflection that needs to happen within yourself. And I did that class on humility. You need to humble yourself to God before you're going to be able to get yourself in a position where you're going to be able to have humility amongst brothers and sisters
right.
in a like-minded camp.
Yes, sir. Right.
And many of us have not put ourselves in that position to humble ourselves to God and his ways and his thoughts and how they're higher in ours. We always look for a way to justify our sin. We always look for a way to rationalize and try to put forth things. Well, I don't think God's going to judge me for wearing pants, if you're a sister.
Right.
I don't think God's going to judge me because I didn't grow a beard. But that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
And it don't matter what you think. The Bible says in Isaiah 57, his thoughts are higher than ours. Is it 57?
55. And eight.
Yes, thank you. And eight. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? Let me get this in Ezekiel. That's all I wanted off of that one.
It's the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11 and verse 16.
Real?
Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen.
We're scattered everywhere, right? You read that in the curses, that we'll be scattered amongst all nations, right? Christ said, go and teach all nations, right? Because why? You saw in Acts 2, because our people were in all nations. We were scattered everywhere according to the prophecies. Come on.
And although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary.
Right. And he said, listen, I will be to them as a little sanctuary, meaning a refuge. Let's go back to the definition. Can you pull it back up on the screen? I'm not done with it. See, now you're slowing it down because you went back to the article. You should have left the definition up. It says a place of refuge or safety. So you have to understand something. Our first safety is in this.
Praise you, sir.
It's in this Bible. That's our refuge. This is us being taken under the wing of the Most High God in the spirit of his son Christ.
Right.
That's where that refuge starts. But those sanctuaries are going to pop up where you're going to have other brothers and sisters that are in that. It's a place where you will go to wash the filth away, to wash the evil communication away, and get your mind right. Because especially now the way the agenda is, from all manners of sin and all manners of evil that they're pushing, you know, integration is evil.
Definitely.
Integration is wicked.
Right.
Because God didn't set up integration.
No, he didn't.
He set up segregation, but by the measure of the people of Israel.
That's right.
The scripture says, when I divided.
Deuteronomy 30.
Get that.
32 and 8.
32.
Yeah. Get that real quick. Gosh, here I go again. I'm going somewhere else. Jesus, take the wheel. Going, come on, man.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel.
Right, so God is about separation. And it says when he segregated, he did it based on us being the top. When Esau did it, which in the world is known as the so-called white man, he did it based on what he wanted and what his desires were,
right,
which is to rule over us because of his perpetual hatred that he has for us, right? Sure. So he's integration is sinful. So many of our people have this in our spirit to not even want to try to attempt to come together. And that's why I said there's levels of humility in this walk that you're not going to be able to establish until you let that spirit of humility reside in you. And first is humbling yourself to God and what he wants and what he sees.
Right.
And he says, gather yourselves together before that day.
That's right.
To these little sanctuaries. Let's read that in Ezekiel again.
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 11 and verse 16. Therefore, say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come.
Right? Meaning wherever they were scattered. And it says in the countries where they shall come. So you need that place of refuge. And that's what these little sanctuaries are. Right?
Right.
Hey, so I see a comment here. Antenny, I can't really see the picture. I don't know if you're a sister or a brother. But either way, it wouldn't matter. So it says, so she says, so what do you do when you're not close to Israelites? I go to a tabernacle, but they have a white man that goes there, and their teachings are not the same, but I also need to congregate. So you're right. Your spirit's not seeing certain things and what have you. Sis, we've had many places where we've not had a sanctuary. First of all, I would implore you to search. If you haven't, I'm going to presume that you have. But if you haven't searched, go to IsraelUnite.org. And we have a list of all our locations there, right? And maybe something's an hour away. Maybe it's an hour and a half, right? And get yourself to a place, all right? Secondly, if there genuinely isn't one, we've had brothers and sisters that have planted roots, that have reached out to us. We facilitated certain things where we might have sent brothers into a city to try to build a congregation there, right? Oh, okay, I said it correctly. All praise to the Most High, sis. So, sis, obviously, it's not a situation where you're going to go out and teach and build in the streets like many of us have done organically. So 2 hours. Well, sis, I mean, I don't know your personal situation. We have brothers that travel 3 hours here to come to the school, right? They're in the next city down in Tucson, and they drive up to Phoenix. So, you know, even if it's once a month, you know, depending on what your situation might be. Again, I don't know. I know some people have some challenges in that, all right? But your faith is going to help you find a way to do that. And then that's how you can show not just some faith with the Most High, but you'll show some faith to the camp that you can congregate with.
Right.
And then you can have a conversation with the leaders of that camp and say, hey, I'm in this city and we need some help here. And I guarantee you they'll facilitate something. We're getting boots on the ground, all right, so that we can go over there and try to help build the next city over.
Right.
Right? That's what we do here we support the Tucson brothers. They support, and by the coaching and the training of the way we do things here, they go out on their own flyer missions. You know, they haven't grown enough to be built up to be doing their own camps down there, but occasionally we'll go down there and help them build, do a camp, whatever it might be. So there's always a way, sis. Don't let that self-talk and that's part of that pollutions of this place kind of keep you from that. If your spirit don't feel right where you're going, make the effort to go somewhere where, you know, I mean, obviously you're here, you're listening to the class here, you probably watch other IUIC classes. Get yourself to an IUIC sanctuary, all right, by whatever means necessary. And trust me, the Lord, there is a God. He'll work the rest out. He'll work the rest out. All right, so let me go back into this. So, because this started because I said, I see we're going to read what we're going to read about this brother. And I said, you know, we need that sanctuary, which starts with the Bible, and then it starts with the places where people are together in that refuge of the Most High God. So this brother, so it says, the parents of Bakari Henderson, a black international traveler, all right, there's a picture of him there, who was beaten to death by a mob in Greece in 2017. Make me not want to eat Greek food anymore just because of that. Mm. I do like some Greek food, though.
I got the Euros.
Not even the Euros. Bro, I like that. Just like the dressing and the hummus and all that. But anyway, that's Mediterranean, really. It's not necessarily Greek.
Right,
but
right.
It says he will be... So in 2017, he was beaten to death. I didn't know about this. Well, I might have heard about it and didn't think about it. So now it's in the news again. Because apparently they convicted some of the guys who beat this brother to death, as we'll read in the article, but they did it on lesser charges. So the parents are fighting more justice, you know, in Esau's system. But, you know, I can feel the pain there, you know, being a father myself. You know, how you imagine your son's there, and you're going to read he's not some thug or whatever. He was an entrepreneur.
Right.
And you're going to see what the reasons were. I mean, and this is facts. This was stuff that was established in court for whatever that's worth to you.
Right.
Right. So it says they'll be heading back to the European country to see seven of the original nine men accused of killing their son are retried. In 2018, despite the eyes of the world tuning in to see justice, not one of the alleged perpetrators was convicted of murder.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
There's a little graphic there of when they were beating him up. And I think there's a video in here. We'll see if we can play it. Anyway, so it says Jill and Phil Henderson are still seeking justice for their son, who would have been 27 years old this year had he not been slain while traveling to Greece for a business trip. The parents will be returning to the so-called birthplace of democracy, right, because that's what they say Greece is, after Greek prosecutors ordered a retrial and upgraded murder charges for six of the suspects, who were convicted of assault only in the first trial in 2018. Yep. It's Europe.
Right.
And this is what I'm saying. It's everywhere.
Right.
You know, people try to think it's a particularly American thing.
Right.
We're hated everywhere. There's no justice anywhere.
They make it sound like they just, like, socked them in the jaw or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, they beat them to death. They beat them to death.
Yes.
And we're going to read about it. It says, one additional suspect has been added to the lot and will also stand trial for his part in Henderson's death. The retrial, which is set to start on February 21st, so it started Monday, I believe, was ordered in November 2018, but has been delayed repeatedly since then. The African-American man was attacked outside of a bar in Lagana Resort on the Greek island of Zakynthos in July 2017 by several men. Henderson had flown to the country for a photo shoot for his new clothing line. An investigation gave an inclination as to what started the fight. Jealousy. A waitress, that's the same spirit Esau had with us. That's the same spirit Esau had with us. Where he wanted to kill Jacob.
You have Cain and Abel?
Same thing.
Cain and Abel.
That murderous
same spirit.
Yeah.
Well, it says a waitress from the bar told police that the fight happened after she asked Bakari for a selfie. One of the Serbian men approached her, meaning white, and said, there are a lot of Serbs in the bar. Why are you talking to a black guy?
Wow.
So now you see where this came from. Because they were jealous of this dude.
Right. No.
He says, a video was released on the beating, showing in graphic details the last moments of the Texas native's life. The man who asked the woman about talking to a black guy punches Henderson in the face. The young man did not automatically retaliate, but after he strikes back, he flees. The men run after him. Outmatched in numbers, they pulverize him with their fists, slam him on a parked car, and continue the assault as he falls on the ground. At one point in the recording, some of the members of the mob try to pull others off, but to no avail. 30 seconds after hitting the ground, Henderson was dead. We'll come back to the video. His mother struggled to wrap her mind around the motive. Somebody getting beaten to death over a selfie. It just makes no sense. See, sister don't understand. It wasn't over a selfie.
Right.
There's a deep-seated ancient hatred there that that Esau has for us, all right? So she says it just makes no sense. It's very hard to imagine that people would have that much hate to do something to another human being. Where is that in Genesis where it says that he says why he hates him? I think it's 27 and 41. That's what I want. Let's read that real quick. Genesis 27 and 41. This is where the jealousy stems from.
Book of Genesis, chapter 27 and verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob.
The white man, Esau is the progenitor of the white race after the flood, which is the spirit of Cain regenerated in Esau. And he says, Esau hated Jacob, which is us, so-called black, Hispanic, Native Americans. It's in their spirit. He says, because why? Come on.
Because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
He hates us because he ain't us. Even
right.
if a lot of these white people do not know and they believe firmly in their heart that they're the chosen and that they're above us, something in their spirit knows that we're better than them and it knows that their days are numbered.
Right.
Something in their spirit knows that they're the end of the world and we're the beginning of it.
We are superior to them.
They know that.
Yes, sir.
They know that. Despite what they might try to tell you, despite they'll try to come with all types of derogatory things. This is why you see things. Ahmaud Arbery's in the news again. And, yeah, they convicted him. I hope that don't put our people to sleep. Yeah, they're going back to try to get him on hate crime charges, and I think that went through also. They're doing all these different things. Don't let that stuff put you to sleep. That's not going to change the spiritual, ancient hatred that's in their heart from their progenitor. Read that from the top again.
Book of Genesis chapter 27 and verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him.
Because they know that we're superior to them. They know that, we're God's chosen. They know that all the fatness of the earth is going to be ours.
Right.
Come on.
And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob.
Right. In his spirit. It's in his spirit to this day that they want to murder us,
right?
That they want to slay us. Read the next verse, 42. Come on.
Verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee.
Hey, because make no mistake about it, that is our brother,
mm-hmm.
twins,
right.
All right? Just the Most High chose a different line,
right?
And Isaac shall thy seed be called, right?
That's right?
Through Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what the Bible says. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
That's right.
Come on.
Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, offered himself, purposing to kill thee.
Purposing to kill thee. It's a comfort to Esau when he kills us.
Damn.
They don't feel no remorse. Those crocodile tears, like they say, to speak after, when after they're caught. They ain't sorry that they killed one of us.
At all.
They sorry that they caught.
Right.
They sorry that they got to be on trial and deal with all that stuff. They not dealing with none of that. So the hatred, that's where that stems from. Let's go back to the article. So it says, go up more. Go up. I want to read because I just read about hatred. There we go. So his mother struggled to wrap her mind around the motive. Well, biblically, there's an answer for the motive. For that sister, somebody getting beaten to death over a selfie. It wasn't about the selfie. It's about a perpetual hatred that Esau has for us. It just makes no sense. It's very hard to imagine that people would have that much hate to do something to another human being. That's why our brains need to be washed. That's why we gotta have a talk. When I get into these scriptures, we gotta have a talk. Local authorities assessed that Henderson died of head trauma. 9 people were arrested. 1 Greek citizen, a British man of Serbian origins, and 7 other Serbs, all Esau. The Greek police released 3 of the men days after the killing, leaving 5, ranging in age from 18 to 34 years old, in custody. So this isn't like old people with some old racism.
Right.
Because they'll try to tell you that too. A new generation that has that same hatred for our people in their blood. So he says, during the murder trial in 2018, 9 of the attackers were found not guilty of killing Henderson.
Wow.
That's wild.
6 of the 9, originally charged with intentional homicide, which carries a life sentence in the country, were convicted of the lesser charge of assault.
You could kill a man in broad daylight and it's assault.
It comforts their spirit, we just read, right? Genesis 27:42, it's a comfort to them. Assault, to me, you survive that thing.
Right.
When you're dead, because of the assault, that's murder.
Manslaughter, something.
That's murder.
Yeah, something. Damn.
The Bible's plain about murder.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you see how they twist things? They frame mischief by law. They hold themselves not guilty. Right? So it says so 6 of the 9, they were charged with homicide. They were convicted of assault. The British citizen was sentenced to up to 15 years in prison, the harshest punishment of them all for causing grievous bodily harm. One of the Serbs was sentenced to 10 years. 3 of the Serbs were sentenced to 7 years, and the remaining received 5 years. CBS reports that the other 3 men were acquitted. At least 4 of the men have already been released, meaning they got
out.
Yes. Mind you, that was 2018.
Right.
4 of them have already been released, and the 3 other men that were involved were acquitted. Reports claim the men celebrated by smiling and hugging each other after the verdict was rendered. The men even exchanged high fives while still in the presence of the judge, the rest of the court, and the family. Henderson's parents were there for the trial, sitting behind the accused the entire time, and though they were not successful in bringing justice to their son's legacy, they did not give up hope. Now a new trial is set, and the parents are pushing through their bereavement to fight. It's been a lot of highs, but mostly lows, trying to process the grief. Jill Henderson told Gail King in an interview for CBS News, I would say the hardest thing has been feeling like I'm not always doing the best that I can by my other 2 children because I spent so much time focused on Bakari and the retrial and just trying to keep his legacy alive because I miss him so much. The parents said that after 4.5 years, they still have not unpacked his luggage from the trip. As the family prepares to go to Greece for the 5th time, they have one prayer on their mind. They want the courts to truly see their son. I just truly hope this time that they really view Bakari as a child of God.
Wow.
See, I'm telling you, sometimes in some respect, I can understand the aversion of our people to the Bible in general when you have a mentality like this.
Right.
It's because he is a genuine child of God. Like we read, he separated the sons of Adam. And he divided them according to the portion of Israel.
Right.
It's because he's a child of God that they killed him.
Right.
Even if they couldn't see it. And it's what they're really seeing when she says God, you know she means white, Jesus.
Right.
And the human that he is, as someone that could be their brother, their son, their grandson, their nephew, they don't see that.
No.
They don't see that.
They're not going to.
No.
The mother stated, I really want them to be able to understand that when they're doing the sentencing this time, listen, that's not going to happen, sis. You know, condolences for that situation, but that's not going to happen. You need to understand what's here. You need to understand the type of discussion that we need to have. But, sometimes you hear, like, there might have been an altercation or whatever it is. This sounds like it was just straight up. They just killed him because the dude was in a bar. He's out there on business, pictures for his clothing line, and then gets trashed because the dudes were jealous that the waitress wanted a selfie with him. Right. Hey, let me tell you something. And that also stems another thing. This reminds me of when I was in basic training in the Air Force. And there was the sister's flight, and this story had come to us from the sister's flight that there was a black sister there, and everybody else was pretty much white in that flight. Flight's like platoon, whatever. And I'll give you a side on the men's side too. And I remember them saying that the sister was saying that, and I noticed because the sister was in the same tech school as me, so we got to talking because we came out of basic together and we were in the same tech school. And she was saying that some of the white girls would go up to her and were like in awe of her and they were like, hey, can I touch your hair? Can I touch your skin? Yeah. I've never seen a black person in person before.
That was crazy.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So I say that to say that this waitress that was there was probably just like in awe and fascinated by this brother and wanted a picture with him, right? Because she probably hadn't seen much black people in her life. So that's like a real thing. And I remember on the brother's side, didn't happen with black people, but it happened. It was me and like two other guys with only Hispanics in the flight. We had like one so-called black dude, Judah brother. And they didn't know anything but Mexicans. So when I was saying I was a Puerto Rican, they were like, nah, you a Mexican, this, that, and the other.
Right.
You know, I almost fought some dudes over that, but I wasn't trying to get held back in basic training.
Right,
but
right.
Anyway, let's watch the video, all right, of this thing.
They literally got away with murder.
Right, and the parents are keeping it alive. Three or four years later, they still,
Make a video. Let's watch the video.
I don't think they're going to get much justice, though. I mean, hell, they let them go the first time.
Disturbing surveillance video reveals how the attack that killed an American. Disturbing surveillance video reveals how the attack that killed an American in Greece began and how it ended. Local media say the footage shows Bakari Henderson running from a group of men. They then throw him down, kick and punch him numerous times. It happened outside a bar on the island of Zakynthos. Tony DeCopel is here with new details on how the violence quickly escalated. Tony, really hard to watch this footage.
Indeed. Good morning. The video is now court evidence, and police confirm it's genuine. It shows that fewer than 20 seconds passed between the time the group began pummeling Bakari Henderson and the time they stepped away from his lifeless body. And we're also learning more about what led to this brutal attack from video inside the bar.
Security footage shows a man and a woman taking a selfie next to a person Greek media say is Bakari Henderson. Moments later, a man next to Henderson grabs a bottle of beer and makes a smashing motion, setting off a confrontation that escalates when the man hits Henderson on the head. A few seconds later, Henderson hits back. The men then run out of view. Surveillance video from a nearby bar shows Henderson trying to run away before someone throws him against the car. Several others begin to kick and punch him as he collapses in the street. Bystanders try to break up the attack, and someone appears to give Henderson CPR. Greek authorities say Henderson died from severe head injuries. Nine men face voluntary manslaughter charges, including seven Serbians and two workers from the bar. One of those workers, a bouncer, told a local paper he tried to break up the fight, but that Henderson took an ashtray and threw it at me. He admits he responded by punching him in the face and two or three times in the body.
The hell is this?
I'd never seen him rattled a day in my life.
Henderson's friend Daniel Brown spoke with CBS News in Greece this week. He was with Henderson on the island of Zakynthos. But he says he wasn't at the bar in the party district of Leganas when the fight broke out. He told us Henderson, a recent college graduate who was working to start his own clothing line, was a selfless person who always kept his cool.
He was never really worried about material objects or social status or anything like that. And he was non-judging of everyone he met. And because of that, he easily had the most diverse and large group of friends anyone could ask for.
Four suspects appeared in court today for initial testimony back in Texas. Meanwhile, a spokeswoman for Henderson's family tells us they're planning memorial services for Friday and Saturday. She says they're hoping to have his body back home by then.
All right, that's all we need on that. So, you know, they're trying to seek justice over there. Listen, and whether or not they get it, whether or not the reach out does something, you know, I'm not even going to comment on his eating my girlfriend there. But
how do you have video evidence like that and there's no justice brought forward?
Happens every day with the police.
That's how we know that it is what it is, you know.
Exactly.
So, anyway, let's switch gears real quick. Let's change this up. Let's go there. Yes. Do the title page first. So we've been working off of this book on and off since like what, end of December, I think. We've been going over this, and yes. So the book is called Hard Times Create Strong Men. All right. It is written by Anita Mike, but he does have some good points in here. And I happened to stumble across this book. I don't remember why. It might have been some influencer that that I follow or something like that, like some fitness guy or whatever. And I like him because he talks a lot about, you know, men as king, women as, you know, and I think he's our people, but he's also associates himself with a lot of Edomites and stuff like that. But he has some good things that he brings out. And, you know, I'm like, he mentioned his book, I believe, and that's how I found out about it. So I have purchased it as an ebook, and I've been using excerpts from this book to talk about different things. And like I said, we've had some news articles and different topics that came up that kind of took us away from it a little bit. But I don't want to lose this. My goal is to kind of steer back to this, really thoroughly break down what's lacking, because I think one of the biggest things that's missing amongst our people is not just, you know, we talk about leaders and being leaders, right? And we understand that the Bible is what shows us that we're men.
That's right.
Right? But that emphasis on hard times creating strong men, for us, especially for Israel, it's not just hard times, it's these last days. We're in prophetic times. And there's no time to waste, right? Because where do those leaders come from? It got to come from the pool of men that are here, that are Israelites. And there's just so much effeminism. There's so much emasculization of men in general, but definitely so-called black and brown men. I mean, you see it in movies. They want to put the token homosexual person in movies now, but then they also make them
black.
So-called people of color,
right.
Black or Hispanic. Like, why do it always got to be the black or Hispanic
right.
person that's gay
right.
in the damn show or in the movie? Why can't it be, you know, somebody else? And we know why. There's an agenda behind the whole thing. And we really need to focus on continuing to build our man children up. And our brothers who have matured physically, right, who have grown up and are age of manhood, but spiritually, emotionally, and mentally are boys still to this day. Strong men need to be created. So we're going to read an excerpt here. We had started reading it several shows back. And I never got to the scripture piece, so we're going to read this. And he uses this example, this guy, the author, of when he was at work and how this entitlement, this whining, it's very nuanced, right? Because he's going to talk about something that may seem real subtle. But it's the same type of thing that I hear amongst Israel, that I hear amongst us. I don't know, man. Like, I grew up with different values. And, you know, I saw my grandfather. You know, I had mentioned earlier, my pops really wasn't around. I saw my grandfather. Hell, even my stepfather had a good work ethic, but mainly my grandfather, and I saw his work ethic and the values that he taught us. And I don't know, man, like even like nowadays, man, it's like that generation is dying off where those values are passed on to us. Right. And I think most of us can relate to, it's usually a grandparent that kind of taught you some, cause they came from a time when there was still some morals and some ideals, though they weren't necessarily rooted in the proper understanding of the scripture. They just knew it to be so, not really understanding why. And that's missing. And we as Israelite men need to continue that on, right? We need to stand up manfully.
Right.
We need to be the ones to stand up and defend the Most High and his gospel in the earth. And it really starts with us. And so we're going to run the gamut from dealing with the children today and how as they get older, and even those brothers that I said coming into this need to be able to understand what's really at stake here. For a lack of not showing these type of things. So there's a quote here. It says, begin each day by telling yourself, today I shall be meeting with interference. So I like this quote because I'm going to read it and then I'll go back and break it down. Because all you got to do is apply this. This sounds like what we deal with.
Right.
And this is what I talk about, how we get tainted in our minds and in our spirits sometimes that we don't emphasize to ourselves. I think this is something that I need to remind myself when I step out into the world, but not necessarily what you're going to get when you come to these sanctuaries, but acknowledge daily what you're going to step into when you step out your door dealing with anybody that's not in this truth. So this is from Marcus Aurelius, right? That's the Caesar, one of the Caesars of Rome. And he says, begin each day by telling yourself, today I shall be meeting with interference, ingratitude, insolence, disloyalty, ill will, and selfishness. all of them due to the offender's ignorance of what is good or evil, right? All the foundations of the earth are out of course. The understanding of what's good and right, what's evil, that's not present in these last days now. So we need to be that in these last days. And guess what? As a black or brown man, you're going to walk out there and you're going to be met with interference, right? And I know black or brown is the term we use because that's what's catchy. That's what the general people will see.
Right.
We know the Bible says Israel's heritage is a speckled bird.
That's right.
There's no way that we were scattered into every nation under the sun and we don't look like every nation under the sun. But the Bible is what bears witness with our conscience, whether or not we're Israelites or not. I mean, you know, we've had people come through these doors here in Phoenix that questionably by appearance look a certain way. And we had to just, hey, listen, the Bible says be easy. We're scattered into all corners of the earth. We're going to deal with them. But then, you know, time proves out whether they're really about this or not.
Right.
Had this conversation today.
Yeah, time proves that out whether they're really about this or not, right? So that's not for us to necessarily judge by appearance. Let the Bible be that. Remember, Christ said he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, right? Meaning that there's going to be people amongst us that might not be.
Right.
So, you know, that needs to be understood. That also goes into, you know, even our own people who are there not for good reasons, you know. But so you're going to be met with interference. You got to remind yourself of that. You know, you're going to walk out them doors. You're going to be met with interference, meaning noise. You're going to hear things that you're going to hear that you're not Israel. You're going to hear that we're a hate group. They're going to say that we're hateful for even professing some sort of thing like that. The interference to try to prevent you to keep these laws, statutes, and commandments are going to be there. All these things, the construct of what society, the agents of socialization that they've put out there, from your schools to your jobs to your sports to your media to the movies, to the news, to the music, to the advertising. Everything is geared against this Bible. That's interference.
Right.
They're running interference so that you don't hold God and Christ in your spirit, in your mind.
Mm.
Ingratitude, right? So many people unthankful. Insolence. And you know what insolence is? Look it up. I want to give the exact meaning. Insolence. Pretty heavy considering where we at, right? Insolence definition. Insolence. No, you didn't.
That was it.
Insolence. All right. Rude and disrespectful behavior. Go to the synonyms. I don't know if I like the Google one. Hold on. No, go down. Let me see what else we got. I want to see if it gets it the way. I can still use that definition. Scroll down because there'll be more definitions. I click on Miriam. Let's see what Miriam said. The quality or state of being insolent. Click on insolent. No, right there. It's underlined. Click on insolent because it's leading us to the root word. All right. Insultingly contemptuous in speech or conduct, exhibiting boldness or effrontery, impudent. Right. And so it's not saying it the way I want to say it. But when I think of the word insolent, right, I've only ever heard it when you're watching a movie, because it's not a regular word you use every day.
Right,
you
right.
Insolent son of a gun.
Right.
You don't hear that. You'll hear rude and things like that. It's usually when it's a king or a lord and a subject is being disrespectful or rude. And he'll say, you insolent swine or this, that, and the other, right? And I say it that way. Because the insolence that we experience, to me, insolence only applies to royalty.
Right.
And we're that royalty.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And that insolence comes from people who should be our servants. Let's get that in Ecclesiastes. Is it 10 and 7 or 7 and 10? I always – an error that precedeth. Ten, start at 5. I bring this one out often. I like this one, right? Insolence we're going to be met with when we go out into the world. Hey, and we're talking about the conversation that we got to – this is stuff you got to tell your young boys.
Right.
Hey, some of this stuff you got to tell your sisters, your daughters too. But this is the stuff you got to tell your young boys when they're age of understanding to get that. And this is something that I had to start talking to my daughter recently about as I walk her to school. And, you know, she's getting to that age where she's asking questions. And she asked me about – You know, so why would this person dislike me because of this or because of that? And I'm trying to explain to her where that comes from and how it's spiritual or whatever. And that's insolence, bro. And I remind them every day before I drop them, even my little, hey, remember, hey, what tribe are you from? Right. From the nation of Israel.
That's right.
Remember, you're better than anybody.
That's right.
Don't matter what they tell you or whatever, you know, so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to build their character up. You got to build their self-esteem up. Because they're met with interference that tells them that they're less. They're met with interference that tells them that they're wrong.
Right.
My daughter's in there wearing skirts. Everybody's wearing jeans. She's met with interference that tells her that that's wrong. My son is there with fringes. People are going to look at him funny.
Right.
Say, what are those funny things you got on your clothes?
Right.
He's going to act a certain way. Oh, you're weird because you don't eat this or that. That's interference.
Right.
It hits our kids in the form of peer pressure. But then it also hits us as grown people as well.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This is a double thing here. Don't just focus on the little ones.
Right.
Focus on the little ones in their spirit. Remember, when you come into this truth, you're the age of how long you've been repenting.
That's
right. So our men need that as well. So it says insolence. And you have an insultingly contemptuous in speech or conduct, overbearing, effrontery. It's an affront, impudent. That's another one you hear. Oh, you impudent fool, right? And it's usually from royalty
right.
to somebody that's your subject, right? Let's get this.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10 and verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceeded from the ruler.
So Solomon was saying that this is an evil. This is a vision that I had. And it seems like it's an error. He said, wait, this don't make sense. Because it shouldn't be that way. Remember, he's a king.
Right.
He was a prize king where other rulers were coming to him for wisdom.
Right.
And he understood the scriptures and what was promised to us.
Right.
So the fact that he was seeing this, so he said, wait, this is an error. No. That's not how this movie is supposed to go.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know, obviously in understanding, you realize that there's a time where we must be that way. Right. But he's letting you know that it's off. It shouldn't perpetuate.
Right.
Right. Come on, read.
Verse 6, folly is set in great dignity.
That folly is talking about Esau.
Right.
He says that folly is set in great dignity. So you got to imagine, at this time, Esau was nothing.
Right.
And he's looking at them and he's saying, wait a second, these guys are the ones that are dignified in those days, in that time? Hey, Paul even said, I wish that I could be a curse for my brethren's sake for what he saw in these days.
Right.
So he said, folly is set in great dignity. Come on.
And the rich sit in low place.
So he's not obviously talking about that rich. This goes with Revelation 2 and 3.
2 and 9.
2 and 9 and 3 and 9. And where he talks about, you know, the I've seen your poverty, but thou art rich.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Meaning the promises of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven are to us.
Mm.
Right? Remember, we're the beginning that follows after the end,
right.
Which is Esau being the end.
Right.
So he says, and I see those that are rich. I see my people sitting in low place, not in a place of esteem. Come on.
I have seen servants upon horses.
Because they're servants. Remember, I just made the reference of you see those movies. They say, you insolent fool, right? Or you
right.
impudent swine or whatever it is,
yep.
right? Because usually that's a contempt towards somebody higher up,
mm-hmm.
right? So he says, I have seen servants upon horses. And, you know, they took the statue down
right.
in New York, but we're going to keep them pictures going and we're going to keep that thing
right.
out there so you can see you had the statue of Roosevelt on the horse
mm-hmm.
for years in front of the American History Museum. All right. I think Deacon Malachi brought it out recently in a class, a Sabbath class he did,
yep.
but about the news that they were taking it down. And then you see a Gadite and a Judah brother. You see Southern and Northern Kingdom, right, on the flanks of the horse. Mm-hmm.
One got the gun down,
the other got the gun up, right? Yeah, and that's a very strong visual of what we're reading here when you look at that picture. And if you can look at the picture in the background, because I don't want to presume that everybody knows or everybody's seen the class of what I'm talking about, but put statue, statue in front of I think it's Teddy Roosevelt. He was known as like a great explorer into the wilderness and stuff like that. Roosevelt statue torn down or whatever. Yeah, it's the statue on horse, right? Just get it ready. And so it says, folly is set in great dignity and the rich sit in no place. Come on.
I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth.
Go ahead, pull up that picture real quick, because not everybody has seen that thing. Let's pull that up. And we should, I think every school should have that, because that might not be on the internet someday anymore, right? Yep. So check it out. You'll see it there. You see that's the white man on the horse, like what we just read in Ecclesiastes. So he's seen servants upon horses, and then he's seen those who are rulers on the side. See? And subservient to that.
You know what else I noticed about the picture, mm-hmm. Cap? The Gadite has his head up, but yep. Judah has his head down.
Yeah, remember, and you know what that cost Gad? Almost their whole tribes. Because they stayed fighting them to the end.
Right.
To get us to help.
They broke Judah pretty bad, right? But the prophecy was that the tents of Judah would rise first.
Right.
So, you know, all that happened for a reason, and the Most High executed it the way he needed to execute it.
Right.
That's not the case, right? Because starting in the Civil Rights Movement and so on, in the prophecy in Genesis 49 about the hand of Judah always being in the neck of their enemy,
right?
But for a time, that's what it was. It was a broke down situation there. But Gad always rebelled.
Right.
Gad always rebelled to the point where they drove him to reservations. Mm-hmm. They put him on drugs and alcohol. They got him addicted to alcohol.
Try to kill the food.
Yep, try to kill the food. They killed all their livestock. That's one of the curses in Deuteronomy 28, right? The oxen that he would take. You won't eat of it.
Right.
None of that stuff. They put them on welfare. They weren't the first welfare.
Really?
It was government meat, subsidized meat. And they used to send them rotten meat, infested meat.
That's wild.
They had to send them all types of that. So they were the first ones to get welfare from the U.S. government, not because they sought it, but because they made them dependent on it. They said this is part of the breaking process that we would do. They made them dependent on it. It was different when they brought Judah over captive, right, because they already had them in bondage. They didn't have these people in bondage. So what did they do? Deconstruct the family. Separate them, the aged men, mm-hmm. right? And Deuteronomy 28 tells you no regard for the aged men,
right?
Separate the aged men. Separate them from their wives. Break down the families. Open up the Indian schools.
The Willie Lynch.
Right? Yeah, all that stuff that we read like in Willie Lynch.
Right.
They followed that thing to the T, all right? So let's go back to the quote. Let's go back to the quote. Yep, the Bible is a true book, man. The Bible is a true book. So he says, we got to begin each day, and this is something not only that we should we have in our minds. Don't let ourselves get lulled to sleep. I think we get a false sense of confidence sometimes in this walk. You got to realize walking out that door as an Israelite, and especially as an Israelite man, that you're going to be met with interference, ingratitude, insolence. We are royalty, like we just read, and you're going to see that folly and dignity, but not us. Disloyalty. You're not going to find any loyalty in the earth. You find that in this sanctuary here. And how do you manifest that sanctuary? You can't just read it. You got to get around brothers and sisters and build that spirit of loyalty amongst each other. Ill will, that's all you're going to get in the world. I'm not saying you won't find ill will in the sanctuaries, but that stuff is rooted out and torn down as that stuff pops up.
Right.
There's safety in here when those things come up.
Right.
And selfishness. And listen, some of these things you will find in a sanctuary, but then it's rooted out. But then it's rooted out and it's put out, right? But in the world, that's all you're going to do it. And he says all those things are due to offenders' ignorance of what is good or evil. Wise to do evil, because that means amongst our people and even from our enemies that you're going to get that type of behavior.
Right.
Because this is what determines what's good and evil. God is there, right? He says that I create good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the one that knows. He's that mediator of that. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. Isaiah 55 and 8. So that's what's going to come out of that. All right, let's move on. You're mean was the message my staff gave me. I am the founder, owner, and proprietor of a real estate company. During one weekly staff meeting, I gazed in disbelief at my 8 full-time staff members sitting around my boardroom table rebelling against my leadership. Sound familiar? I had been away from the office for an extended period of time and returned to discover that the inmates had taken over the prison. You're mean, one of them repeated. The children were ganging up on dad. I was dad. You got grown men that are going to act like children in this, right? Go down. Because I want to get into my scriptures, I'm only going to read like the highlights for the most part. So he was traveling. Scroll down. I need the next highlight where your mean day one, because I sat at the head. Come on. So he says, "You're mean," they whined as I sat at the head of the table and listened. Jump down. One of my young salesmen, a 21-year-old man, made zero sales calls the day before. So he didn't do his job. He's a salesman. The day before, he didn't make any sales calls. Well, you're a salesman.
Right.
Do what salesmen do.
Right.
He was on social media that day.
Oh, yeah, right. Probably. Who knows what else? He says, he told me he didn't like me, and he got emotional at the boardroom table, telling me that I made him feel like a piece of shit. While he turned red and had a temper tantrum like a baby. He, in fact, was acting like a piece of shit and desperately needed a spanking. I like what he says that day, boy. My young staff consisted of mostly millennials. Wait, you lost me now. Come on, guys.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Come on, man. There you go, to the top. I know. You thought you were just going to scroll down on the picture, right? There we go. My young staff consisted of mostly millennials. An entitled, weak, baby generation of kids who never want to grow up or do any real work. Fuck me. Ironically, I know this generation all too well. I am a millennial. But he was a different type of millennial. But he's telling you, it's not just the term millennial. They, especially amongst our people, that's how they're raised nowadays. Because as you go longer with a deconstructed family without the father figure there, some people he mentions, I think at one point, some people even had a father in the home, but it was a father who was using basically the times of this world, right, to try to raise their kids.
Right.
And it goes back to what I said, those fundamentals that you got from like grandparents, you won't necessarily get nowadays.
No.
So it's very crucial that we as men that are enlightened are able to bring this out. So he says, work is the purpose of a man. Remember, the scripture says, hate not husbandry or laborious work.
Right.
Don't work, you don't eat.
Yep. And I had to have a how to be a man conversation with these young men to straighten them out and get them on the path to productivity. So this is the conversation that we're going to be having, right? And as I said, you know, the shows might fluctuate, things come out. But my emphasis as I go over this series is we got to have the how to be a man conversation continually. Because like we read in the quote in the beginning, every day you're met with interference. So you can have that how to be a man conversation, but it's not just once.
Right.
That's a continual thing. You can have those touch points and bring that stuff out, but we got to continually bring that type of information out because it's the world is bewitching.
Mm-hmm.
Evil communication is a corrupting spirit.
Right.
And it's going to damage all of us. So he says, I had to have the how to be a man conversation with these young men to straighten them out and get them on the path to productivity. None of these young men have real fathers to teach them how to be a man. And we got to remember that. I didn't have a real father.
Right.
I had father figures, but what's the worth of a father figure? How much of a father is that? I mean, it's you see some things that are out there. I mean, is he teaching his kid to be a thug like him? To hate his brother over colors or a block or something else.
Right.
So come on, next. So none of those young men have real fathers. So he says, I sat at my boardroom table one-on-one having the how to be a man and do your work conversation with my young millennial men who were in fact still boys. So understand something. We're going to talk about kids, but it's not just kids. Some people who are men are still boys. Black and brown men in particular, this is endemic in our communities. And when you say endemic, meaning it's highly present communities. This is why you see confusion. This is why you see all types of craziness come out of our own supposed leaders that we got to look at. You got something you want to bring up? I saw you flipping some pages.
Oh, I'm not prepared.
Oh, you're preparing?
Yes,
you're preparing?
Sir.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, if you want to throw me a verse that goes with I'm saying, you can bring it. So he said, what the fuck? Part of my language. I'm just reading what he says. I think it needs emphasis. I thought to myself, this man boy never growing up weakness is an epidemic, a pandemic, a disease that is plaguing our young people today. During my meetings, I heard an entire laundry list of emotional, shitty excuses coming from their mouths, right? So it's some man-boy BS is what he's saying. I don't love it here. I don't love selling this. I don't believe it. You can easily change these to apply to brothers and sisters that we've come across in this walk, in this Bible. I want to go traveling. I want to be a business owner of my own. This isn't my dream. This doesn't make me happy. You make me feel like shit. I don't like you. You're mean to me. I don't want to do my job. Listen, a lot of that emotional stuff, unless it's somebody actually berating you, calling you derogatory terms, it's somebody trying to build you up. And I don't care if you're 45 or 5.
Right.
All right? If you're a boy, in certain aspects, you need to deal with that boy on a boy level. You can be in a 45-year-old body, and because somebody's trying to exhort you, right? And exhortation, I brought this out before, it's not always a nice, comfortable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Exhortation's not always this or good job, guy. All right? Provocation. That's why the scripture says provoke to good works.
That's right.
I brought this out before. Provoking is this.
Right.
It don't feel good, right? After a little while, that starts to feel annoying, right? Bro, leave me alone. What the hell? That's what happens if you're not in the right spirit. So you got to provoke each other to good works. You're mean to me. I don't want to do my job. I would rather do another job in the company that I find to be more interesting. The work you want me to do is not what I want to do. The list goes on and on, but he says, I'll save your eyeballs from reading it. We went over this last quote, I think, last time. Contradictions do not exist. Whenever you think that you're facing a contradiction, check your premises. You will find that one of them is wrong. And meaning your premise is wrong, because he said contradictions don't exist.
Right.
Right? So he said, whenever you find a contradiction, so whenever you find something, what's wrong is how you're viewing it. You're leaning on your own understanding. You're leaning on yourself and not the Most High as your refuge to help you see what's there. There are no contradictions when it comes to that. So I read all that because I've been dying to get into these scriptures. We're going to go step by step. And some of this is going to sound basic, and some of this is going to sound more than basic. But this is stuff that's a foundation. And the conversation is a lifelong conversation that you'll have with your own children and that you'll continue to have as brothers come through the door and you try to build them up as well. It's just you're going to have those conversations at different points as you see the opportunity arise,
right?
The difference is when you're dealing with them from when they're young, it's a cleaner slate. But you got to spend the time programming them, because if you don't, someone else will, and that someone else is the white man. So like a lot of times we tend as parents to kind of not be as attentive, particularly to men. All right. And we know that the woman's job up to a certain age is primarily to deal with them as they get bigger and older, especially the boys. They should be modeling the father a little more. Right. And then, you know, mom's always going to be there for certain aspects of things. You see that in the scriptures. Right. And, you know, not to say mom doesn't give wisdom. You know, Rebecca was giving wisdom to Jacob and so on. But you have to be able to look at this and be able to have these kind of conversations, all right? But it starts from the very, very basic beginning of it. So let's get Deuteronomy 6 and 4. This is a very fundamental thing. And it's going to say what I just said in different words, that it's an ongoing thing that we need to continue to do.
Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6 and verse 4.
Bring it out!
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
This is one of the tenets that we should be teaching our kids. I mean, very specifically, because at some point they're going to get exposed to other gods. They're going to get exposed to other philosophies. They're going to get exposed to other people who will say, yes, I read the Bible. My family reads the Bible, but then have a different understanding. There can't be a presumption of that. So what that's really saying here, the Lord our God is one Lord. You have to say, listen, the God of Israel, he's our God. He's for us, but he also created everybody else. But he put other things in front of them. Everybody's subject to him, but he deals with us very differently.
Right.
He gave us things that give us life. He gave stuff to the other nations just to keep them entertained. Right? You read that when you read Deuteronomy 4, when he says, I didn't come in the shape of this or in any form, lest you worship that. He goes, all those things, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything else, those false gods, that's for the other nations to worship. That's not for you. So, you know, when your kid comes to you and be like, hey, well, how come somebody worships this? You know, I met an East Indian girl in school and, you know, she worships Krishna or whatever it is. You got to be able to give them a biblical understanding of that.
Right.
I mean, you know, listen, depending on it, that's the devil. Stay away from that. But you really want to build them up, build up that character, show them, bring them that understanding. So the first thing we got to teach them is that, hey, God is the God of Israel only.
That's right.
And there's only one God.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is lies. Read on.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Right. Again, teach them, hey, you got to love them. And when they're very young, they're going to just think it's a good feeling love, right? And I point to the heart because that's what we'll say, right? That's the colloquial sign of, hey, okay. But as they grow, you have to teach them that. But guess what? This is the same stuff you teach those man boys that come in here as well. Mm-hmm. It's not any different.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe in how it's presented. And at least in some respect, because, you know, you figure a man boy comes in and he has at least a foundation in reading and he's experienced some things. You can speak to him and the explanation should be a little simpler to come out.
Right.
With a child, you got to kind of be able to condescend to their level to bring it to a point where they understand and they're not just yes, daddying you. But it applies to both. Read that verse again.
Verse 6, and these words which I...
Verse
5.
Uh-huh.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
Right, that's the first commandment, essentially. That's the first great commandment. Come on.
Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
And then that's when you got to say, and listen, and this is why, you know, we read and we study the Bible.
Right.
You know, my son's not really starting to pick up the reading now, right? He's 5, starting to pick up the reading. But hey, as you're able to read more and so on and so forth, these are the things you do. Hey, I love it that he's in the kids' class now. And he's, you know, quoting the commandments and stuff like that, you know?
Yes, sir.
He was asking me, was it him or my? Yeah, it was him. He was asking me today, hey, what does it mean, thou shalt not covet?
Wow.
I said, oh, at 5.
Damn.
He said, what does that mean, daddy, thou shalt not covet? I said, damn, just today as I was picking him up from school. I said, all right, all praises.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, now we got a little opportunity here. Now, that don't mean I take it out. I start taking out notes. I'm going to go precept upon precept and stuff like that. Just a quick little opportunity to bring that up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great questions that you want to hear, right?
Definitely. Kids
what's
don't
that?
Ask that?
Yeah.
Kids
yeah.
don't ask that.
Uh-huh. No, no. No. Hey, so I give a lot of credit to the Spirit of the Most High that put it on the brothers and sisters that are doing that kids program and bringing that stuff out because it works. It works. They come home, they're asking questions about those things and stuff like that. Man, they know the Ten Commandments better than me.
Right.
I ain't ashamed to say it. Sometimes, you know, you get older, man, some stuff you got out there. I mean, I'll get them all out, but I ain't going to get them out as quick as they going to get them out. You know, boom, boom, boom. They got that fresh mind.
Or in order.
Right, or in order, perhaps.
Right?
Come on, Reed.
Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children.
Ah, see, diligence. That's that when I say it's all the time, it's different opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just once.
Right.
It takes diligence. And diligence means it's a concentrated effort. It's not a passive thing.
Right.
As men especially, we got to make sure that we're present in that way and take every opportunity. And as we read on, he's going to tell you, it doesn't mean you got to sit down and give them a class all the time. A lot of times when I impart my stories and my interactions with my children, I'm usually on the go with them.
Right.
I just walk into school, it's picking them up, it's in the car somewhere, and I'm able to kind of bring that out to them in those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I try very consciously to not shoot them off or go away with that stuff because I know it's those formative years
right.
that are most critical to them.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Read on.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
So that's what I was just speaking about. So it says when you're home, you have the opportunity to sit down and do it, all right? It says when you walkest, so I'm walking my daughter to school, or we're somewhere, we're talking about it.
Right.
When thou liest down, have them have God in their mind before they go to bed, and when thou risest up. Every opportunity, you got to look as an opportunity to bring that up. And it's very similar to, the man boys that come in here. Every opportunity, you got to try to apply it as far as the scriptures go. Read on. What verse we at?
Verse 8.
Come on.
And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes.
Right. So this is where the Pharisees get their thing from with the frontlets and all that stuff like that. But what that's really going into when it says bind them for a sign upon thy hand is do them. Apply. Because the power is in the hand to apply. And when it says frontlet before thy eyes, that means have it in your heart. Meditate on it daily so that it's here. That's what the new covenant is, that I will write them in thy heart,
right.
Those laws, statutes, and commandments. Come on.
and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gate.
Right. We have the little Ten Commandments sign, right? We want to get the bigger one. There's every opportunity to do those little things, have those little opportunities to bring those laws out, right? Come on.
And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of the of bondage.
Right. So he was very specifically talking about you about to inherit a land that all this stuff is already made for you.
Right.
You're not going to have to build the city from scratch. You're not going to have to build the infrastructure. But to bring that up to today, but you got to let them know, hey, just because you might be able to get some nice things in this earth and you might be able to get some nice opportunities. And, you know, you said, man, I had a conversation with my daughter the other day because sometimes she annoys me. She's so picky with the way she eats. So we were going to get food out. And then my wife was like, no, 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 we're just going to cook home. And my daughter was like, oh, I wanted this. I said, hey, I said, you know something? I said, when I was little, I said, I didn't get to eat out. I said, and I have those choices. I mean, yeah, we, you know, we went, but I said, you know, it wasn't like often.
Right.
I said, that thing was a treat. I said, you know what my mom told me that I ate? Whatever she cooked that day, whatever we had, that's what I ate. And daddy, why are you being so mean? I said, because I'm annoyed right now with your pickiness. I said, you should appreciate that you even have a choice. So your mom and daddy work hard so that you can have a choice. And all praise to the Most High that we have the opportunity for you to have a choice of what you eat. I said, but I said, sometimes I think you take that for granted. Like, you just have whatever the hell you want, whenever you want. I said, your pickiness, she just was vexing my spirit. Because she was, like, all sad because I wasn't going to grab food from outside. I said, you better stop that. You better stop that.
I tell my kids all the time, McDonald's and Taco Bell was a treat when you got a good report card.
Man,
that was it.
Right. We didn't even have Taco Bell in the East Coast for a long time. Well, New York anyway, for a long time.
Right.
But hell yeah, We ate at home.
Every day.
We ate at home. That was it. Yep.
Every meal, every day.
That's it. Yeah. They were no none of this, that, the other.
You don't sit there till you finish.
I didn't get to have, you know, whatever flavor Pop-Tart or cereal that I wanted. None of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Cornflakes was in there. That's all it was.
I didn't even get asked how I wanted my eggs if I did have eggs.
Right.
If I woke up and I was going to school and they were boiled, that's what I was eating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we didn't have no choice.
I didn't even get to put the sauce. If they were boiled with salt and pepper, that's what I ate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't have that choice. I didn't do that stuff. So, you know, she's a good kid, and I don't really got to worry about too much stuff. But that's because my wife and I have been very focused on how we're going to handle those type of things, and we've raised them a particular way, and that particular way is all praise the Most High. They were born in this truth, so we were able to bring that to them. But it don't mean that they got to be born in this truth, because you got the man boys that you got to deal with in this way too, and put that stuff into perspective. But, you know, reminding them in these last verses that, hey, beware lest you forget God in all these things. Verse 12 says, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, letting you know that those type of things can make you not give gratitude to who's actually providing those things. You'll miss a sign where that gratitude should necessarily go. And you get a complacency where you take that for granted. All right? Let's get Sirach 30:1. 30:1. And I was going to go through the whole chapter of Sirach. I'm not going to go through all of it. I'll just go through the first parts of it because I do want to get through some more scriptures here. Got about maybe 35, 40 minutes before the show is over. Sirach 30 and start at 1.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 30 and verse 1. He that loveth his son causeth him oft to feel the rod.
So this is some other foundational things that need to be there. And it don't mean you're abusive. You don't hit him for any little things. But it's saying if you love your son, you don't spare the rod. It says you cause him oft to feel the rod. Why? Come on.
That he may have joy of him in the end.
Let me tell you something, man. I think I've said this before. My mom used to hit me, first of all, whatever she found.
Mine too.
Whatever she found, bro. If it was a pot,
hey, Cap,
a metal spoon. Yeah.
What was it? The how do you say it? Chicleta?
The chancleta. The chancleta. Now, she upgraded from the chancleta. The chancleta was just to kind of trip you up. Like she would, like she would get in the back of the head, like in a pressure point. And you would slow down and fall. or she would get you at the legs with the chancleta.
Right.
But nah, man, I remember one time, man, I was trying to get away from her. She was going to hit me. I don't know what the hell I did. Bro, she threw a metal spoon at me, bro. She threw it, and I'm not talking about the stuff you get in the dollar store now, bro. That was like a generational spoon that she would use for the big caldero for the rice. And she threw that joint at me, bro. I swore she threw a knife at my back, bro. Because it hit the back of my head, my neck and my back. I remember like going, falling down. I imagined myself like some dramatic thing in something, boy. Bro.
Yeah.
And then before I even knew what MMA was, that she would come in for the finisher, boy. She just ground and pound. Pow, boom, bang. But that stuff kept me all right.
Hey, man, but at least for a little while.
I've said this before, at least for a little while. Yeah, at least for a little while. But no, I tell you, there were times when I was out there, man, and some of my friends was about to get into some. And I did some stuff. I ain't going to say it. But some things I didn't because I was worried about
the
beatdown. Right.
Mind,
I was worried about that.
Right.
Bro, I've said, bro. She used to, you know when Benji said, I'm going to box you?
Yeah.
Well, my mom used to box me with her rings on, bro. I would get black eyes and all that. But I was being bad. It wasn't that she just did it because she was pissed at me or she hated me. She was causing me to feel the rod. Now, I'm not saying go do that to your children. That's the way we were raised.
All right?
The Bible says you beat them on the sides, right? There's a certain rod that you do to do it. But I say rod, my mom in particular, I've said this before. She had a metal Stanley broomstick. The brand was Stanley. I think you could still find it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in particular, because, you know, you think you're hit with a broomstick, and it's, you know, you go to a broom at Walmart or whatever. It's like a little flimsy, that thing break on you sweeping. It bent on you when you're sweeping, right? No, this was a metal Stanley broomstick.
I remember them, bro.
And it had dents in it from when we would get our ass beat with the rod from the metal Stanley broomstick. Well, she would come, boy. She cursing you out, questioning you about what you did, and with her foot, see, she would hold it like this, and with her foot, she's unscrewing the broom part. Because she's about to make that shit into a bow staff. Yeah. Yo, she would get down like that. Bro, I'm telling you, I all types of stuff, bro. Well, one time, man, I got brazen enough to tell her I wasn't going to come upstairs from the window. We lived on the ninth floor in the projects. I was sitting in the front of the building. Come upstairs. My friends were there, girl was there. I'm like, no. She said, oh, yeah?
Her head popped in. You knew she was coming up.
Nothing else. 1 minute goes by, 2 minutes. 5 minutes, she comes down. She has her hand behind her back.
Hell yeah.
She walking up to me. You going to come upstairs? You going to come upstairs? And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. Bro,
like,
she had a bag of her shoes, bro. She took shopping bags. You know the plastic shopping bags? She double-laced up the shopping bags and threw a bunch of her shoes in the bag. She spotted me in front of the building,
hell
in front of my friend.
Man. Man.
Yo, I'll never forget that joke, bro. Yo.
Wow.
Bro, the heels, they were poking through the bag. Because you know what I'm saying?
Man.
Yo, she threw up her shoes, bro, in plastic bags and came down to beat the crap out in front of my friend.
She was up there meditating on that. She was premeditating that.
Nah, she did it quick. It wasn't even that long. That's the thing, bro. It's like it just came to her to do that.
Hey, Cap, you know they do that to people when they in jail. Like they take the bars of soap
yes.
and they put them in the middle.
Yeah, now. I don't know. She ain't never been locked up, but she took all them shoes, boy. Yo, I'm saying, like, where's your mind that you're like, you know what? This is going to teach him a lesson.
Right.
Let me get these shoes and put them in a bag.
Oh, man.
Anyway, read this verse again. I digress too much. Go ahead.
This is the book of Sirach, chapter 30 and verse 1. He that loveth his son causeth him oft to feel the rod.
Right. Why? Come on.
That he may have joy of him in the end.
Discipline your children is basically what it's saying, right? I say that my experience is for levity, all right? And I know many of us who are Israel can relate to that sort of stuff,
right.
Okay? Whether it was shoes or different sticks or whatever your preferred thing was that your parents used on you,
Cap,
all right?
Cap, I shot the neighbor's window out with a BB gun.
Oh, gosh.
And they broke the BB gun on my...
They used
gun,
the BB gun to get you,
yes, sir.
Right? But it says why? Because at the end, you'll have joy of them in the end. Because if you don't correct the bad behavior firmly, aggressively, all right, you're going to have problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not advocating to do what our parents did to us, all right? But follow what the scripture says, all right? Read on, come on.
Verse 2, he that chastiseth his son
shall have joy in him.
He that chastiseth his son shall have joy in him. Come on.
And shall rejoice of him among his acquaintance.
Why? Because they not, you know how you got some bad kids? You know, oh, don't embarrass me in public.
Right.
You should never have to say that.
Right.
There's a saying that I heard on a show one time. My wife loves this saying. Private practice makes public behavior.
Right.
I'm telling you, you are not a good disciplinarian with your children if your children are the damn devil in public.
Right. Right.
I'm saying that to all you brothers and sisters, because I've been in different congregations and stuff like that. Y'all, some of y'all got some badass kids, and it shows that your parenting needs some help.
Right.
You remember our moms, they could just look at us a certain way.
Hell,
and you already
yeah.
knew what she was saying, what was going on in her mind. You
should
write up, bro.
Lord forbid I suck my teeth. And I must admit, I'm a little soft. I let some things slide. Like,
right.
my daughter will give me a like, you know, a little pout or whatever. But if I was my mom, bah, just a backhand, bro.
Right, right.
Let me sigh even.
Mm-hmm.
And it was boom. Yeah, all I heard was the wind and then... Oh, what the hell?
If my mom called me, it wasn't, what? I'm coming. She better hear footsteps.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Don't,
no what? No this. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
we do that too. Don't say what or whatever. Yes, daddy. Yes, mommy. Mm-hmm. And you're coming.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Proceeding.
Yes, sir.
As we call you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so this is why you must chastise them, because it's in the end you have joy. And then you rejoice in them among your acquaintance. Meaning, when they out in public, you ain't going to be embarrassed. You ain't going to have to make excuses for their behavior.
Right.
All right? If you write with it at home, they not going to be off in public. It just don't work that way.
Right.
So don't try to tell us that you on point. And, you know, they'll try to say, man, I'm a boy, I'm going to whoop you over, hun. Bro, the kids know it.
They know you ain't going to do
they know, that. They know it's an empty threat. That's
right.
why you got to be careful what you say.
Right.
Because they'll know it's an empty threat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to fulfill it. That's why I am careful. I won't threaten the pow pow unless I'm committed.
Right.
Because they might push back. Oh yeah? Yeah, you gotta follow through. You
right.
gotta follow through. Read on.
Verse 3. Teacheth his son, grieveth the enemy.
Ah, so it's not just the discipline. You have to teach them. You have to teach them the foundation of what we just brought out in Deuteronomy. And then you have to teach them why these things are wrong. You can't just do it for the sake of doing it and then not have the correction behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Most High in our affliction, in our curses that we rightfully deserve, left it a commemoration for us to say, this is why I did this to you. And this is what you need to do to not get chastised anymore. But until you do, I will continue to chastise you till you return.
Right.
In their affliction, they will seek me early.
Right.
So we have to follow that same model. And so it says you have to teach him. And when you teach him, you grieve the enemy. Why? Because now you're creating that light. Now you're creating that candle that you don't put under the bed.
Right.
A light that shineth so that other people can see.
That Avenger.
Right? Yeah. That's how you get the Avenger. That's going to come up. Everybody talks about the Avenger. I brought this out before. But nobody wants to do what it takes to get an Avenger.
Bring it out.
The minute you have a boy, you don't have an Avenger yet.
Right.
You have a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to make him a man, and it's up to you to teach him so that he can be an Avenger. Oh, so many times I see that. It's such an irksome thing for me when I see people post, oh, yeah, I got my Avenger. No, not yet.
Right.
See, and I'm not saying that it's not well-intentioned. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't put that in your head. Because then you're not going to apply these things.
Right.
You got to remind yourself every day that you're going to deal with insolence, interference, and so is that child.
Right.
And unless you build them up correctly, it's not going to work that way. And guess what? This same thing applies to us
mm-hmm.
because we ain't all the way right.
That's right.
I got to remind myself of all these behaviors. Mm-hmm. So he says, if you teach your son, you grieve the enemy. Because remember, what they want is for us to be products of the environment that they created for us. But we can't be a product of that environment. We got to be a product of the refuge. And this is why we find refuge in the Bible. This is why we find refuge in the sanctuaries. And, you know, they say it takes a village to teach a child.
Right.
I haven't been able to sit there and go straight through the Ten Commandments for my kids. But because of the program that we have in here, I've been able to reinforce what they're learning in that program.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful thing
right.
to have.
I'd agree.
That's family helping each other out in that regard.
Right.
Read that verse again.
Verse 3. He that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy.
Oh, someone said Russia is just beginning invasion into Ukraine. Missiles are flying.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
Listen, even more. Hard times create strong men.
Damn.
Hey, I'm like Deacon Malachi. I'm of a mind of him. Like, it's important to know that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
Now what are we going to do?
Right.
Now what are we going to do?
Right.
You know? So I say all praises. I'm just mad because it's probably going to destabilize prices. Gas is going to go up.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah.
All you types know, of craziness, man.
No, Esau just need a reason.
Yeah, there isn't a reason for that stuff.
even more
that this stuff needs to be brought out. Come on.
He that teacheth his son grieveth the enemy. And before his friends, he shall rejoice of him.
Right, because private practice makes public behavior. Or the private ass whooping makes for public behavior. Come on, read.
Verse 4. Though his father died, yet he is as though. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Though his father died, yet he is as though he were not dead.
Right. Why? Because you've modeled him after you. And if you're a man in righteousness, if you're a man that strived to grow up into the fullness of Christ, then you're training him to be that way. And it's the same thing for the man boys that come through the doors.
Right.
You're training them to be that way. Come on.
For he had left one behind him that is like himself.
Right, and we must continue to do so. Read on.
While he lived, he saw and rejoiced in him. And when he died, he was not sorrowful.
Because he knows he built a foundation that child is going to stand for what he stood for. That child is going to stand for the Most High God in Christ. Come on.
He left behind him an avenger against his enemies.
Ah, see, you leave behind the avenger. Because you did all these things. You took all these steps. You applied all of this. That's why you're joyful. That's why you're able to know that you're grieving the enemy when you do those things. Because you've left behind you an avenger. Come on.
He left behind him an avenger against his enemies. And one that shall requite kindness to his friends.
Right, because you've taught him the royal law. You've taught him love thy neighbor as thyself and what that really means and what the understanding in that is. Come on.
He that maketh too much of his son shall bind up his wounds, and his bowels will be troubled at every cry.
Right, because you're going to be all cut up. You're going to be all distressed. When he says make too much of him, it means don't dote on your child. Yeah, trust me, I get it. I've said this before. I love my children very, very much. But sometimes you got to put the proverbial foot down.
Gotcha.
Because you're not raising them just for yourself. You're raising them for a world that's insolent, that runs interference, that's disloyal, that's evil, that's desperately wicked. And they're going to need to know how to deal with and identify those type of spirits and those people.
Right.
Same thing with the grown man boys as well. Come on, read.
Verse 8. And horse not broken becometh headstrong.
Right. So he's using the comparison of a horse, right? A wild horse must be broken. It says, if not, they become headstrong, meaning self-willed, froward. Come on.
And a child left to himself will be willful.
Nobody wants a wild horse. When you go to buy a horse, what you're paying for is not just the animal, but the animal that's trained in many respects.
A tame
animal. Nobody wants a wild dog either,
no.
Right? You don't want a feral cat. You want something that's so-called domesticated. So nobody wants that. There's no value to that. You don't want to send your children out as wild horses. Mm-hmm. Nobody going to want them. Nobody going to want to deal with them.
Right.
They're going to wind up dead, hurt, or getting somebody else dead or hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Verse 9. Cocker thy child, and he shall make thee afraid. Play with him, and he will bring thee to heaviness.
Right. Cocker him goes into that doting, making too much of him as well. All right. Let's pull up that definition real quick because I like the emphasis on that stuff. Cocker thy child. Come on.
Cocker thy child, and he shall make thee afraid. Play with him, and he will bring thee to heaviness.
All right. Cocker definition. No, not conquer. C-O-C-K-E-R. Cocker thy child. Not cosique, cocker, not cocker spaniel, cocker definition,
It says a small spaniel. Go down. That's not it. Go to Webster. Scroll down. It'll be there. There we go. To indulge or pamper. All right. To indulge or pamper. Meaning, so don't indulge their folly. Don't indulge their it's not cute when the little kid is cursing.
Right.
I mean, it might sound cute the first time you hear it. It's not cute.
Right.
That's why you got these bad little kids running around dropping F-bombs all over the place and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Things like that is not cute, all right? If you see your baby girl twerking, don't encourage that. Don't cocker her in that. That's not cute.
No.
It might look cute when she's 4 or 5 or 6, but when she's 16 and pregnant because she's shaking her behind, that's because you cockered that. Come on.
Verse 10. Laugh not with him, lest thou have sorrow with him. And lest thou gnash thy teeth in the end.
Right, exactly what we were just bringing out. Come on.
Give him no liberty in his youth, and wink not at his folly.
Right. Hey, I remember, I think I brought this out before. It was a question we got in Seattle camp, and Bishop Nathaniel was there. And one of the questions, he does the questions at the end, and one of the questions was when he writes down the questions when he visits, someone said, hey, you know, like at what point is it just kids being kids, right? And, you know, right away you read a little bit between the lines, that's a mother or even a father perhaps that don't like that, you know, people are telling their kids to calm down and stuff. Oh, let kids be kids, let kids be kids. You know, and myself included at that time, all of us are giving these different answers. And the bishop's just letting us answer, and he says, get this scripture. And it's this verse that he gives now. How much is let them kids be kids? Read verse 11.
Verse 11. Give him no liberty in his youth, and wink not at his folly.
Listen, don't give him any liberty, and don't wink at his follies. Don't give this let kids be kids. They being rowdy, causing a ruckus. Listen, if they're on a playground and they're playing regular,
right?
Just leave that alone, right? Mm-hmm. But he says, no, don't give them no liberty.
Right.
Don't wink at his follies. Mm-hmm. Got some of you, oh, that's just kids being kids.
Yeah. I mean, get on them about everything.
Right. Get on them about everything. Be on them about everything.
Sure.
Make sure that you're molding them to where you need them to be. Come on, read. We're going
12.
To verse 13.
Verse 12. Bow down his neck while he is young, and beat him on the sides while he is a child, lest he wax stubborn and be disobedient unto thee, and so bring sorrow to thine heart.
Meaning start early. Start from the youth up, because if not, he's going to get stubborn like a wild horse, right, which has no value. So start young. Again, we're not talking about being abusive or whatnot, but remember, this is not just physical discipline. This is also going into those teachable moments. Sometimes when there's no language thing to be had there, the only way you could teach them something's wrong is with a little pop out.
Man. Always worked for me, man.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It worked for me, too. I don't know what's going on nowadays. Come on, read.
Verse 13. Chastise thy son and hold him to labor, lest his lewd behavior be an offense unto thee.
Right. So it says you must chastise them and hold them to labor. Give them tasks. Give them chores. Give them responsibilities. Because of idleness cometh much evil, the scripture tells you. So don't let them roll in that spirit.
Right.
Let's get, 2 Ezra 14 and 28. 2 Ezra 14 and 28.
Book of 2 Ezra, chapter 14 and verse
28. Read out!
Hear these words, O Israel. Our fathers at the beginning were strangers in Egypt.
Right. So the other thing that we must show the man boys, as long as our children, is the history of our forefathers as well. This is part of the conversations that we need to be having. Give those type of examples, all right? Read that verse from the top again.
Our fathers at the beginning were strangers in Egypt, from whence they were delivered.
Right, so that means give them their history. Let them understand that. Come on.
And receive the law of life, which they kept not, which ye also have transgressed after them.
So you must teach them that the laws are life. And also bring out that history that we also have transgressed as well. Let them know. Bring it out. Hey, listen, our forefathers didn't keep it. You got to understand, this is why it's so important that we keep these things. And this is basically the same foundation of what we teach people coming in as well.
Yes, sir.
But you teach them from when they're little, the children, and you teach the man boys as well. Come on.
Verse 31.
then was the land, even the land of Zion, parted among you by lot. But your fathers and ye yourselves have done unrighteousness and have not kept the ways which the Highest commanded you. And for as much as he is a righteous judge, he took from you in time the thing that he had given you.
We're going to come back to that verse. I want to read down to verse 35 in this, and then we're going to go back to verse 32. Come on.
Verse 33. And now are ye here, and your brethren among you. Therefore, if so be that ye will subdue your own understanding and reform your heart.
You know, to subdue your own understanding goes into that humility. Goes to that Isaiah 55 and 8, that you make sure that you make sure that you understand that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than ours, and they're not the same as ours. So you're giving your children, you're giving these man boys those answers, and you got to subdue your own understanding and reform your hearts. Change your mind. Brainwashed. Come on.
And ye shall be kept alive, and after death ye shall obtain mercy.
And it says, and after death ye shall obtain mercy. There's another level to that that you got to speak to people about. Your children, when they can comprehend something like that, right? And then also, again, to the man boys that have not been raised right, that need that type of tough love and conversation, and say, hey, do you realize that there is judgment after you die? So when it says you shall be kept alive and after death you shall obtain mercy, you'll say, wait a second, he just said you'll be kept alive. What the hell is he talking about?
Right.
And after death you'll obtain mercy. There's something that he's going into there. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Come on.
For after death shall the judgment come.
So that means you can live your whole life, potentially, and not have any judgment come to you. But after death, you're going to get your judgment. Come on.
When we shall live again.
Look at that. When we shall live again. Come on. Hey, we got to teach this stuff. Come on.
And then shall the names of the righteous be made manifest, and the works of the ungodly shall be declared.
In that time, that'll happen. So now, jump up to verse 32. We're going to deal with a bunch of this. Come on.
Verse 32. And for as much as he is a righteous judge, he took from you in time the thing that he had given.
So we must teach them what is the thing that he had given us that he took for in time. This goes into two things that we're going to deal with. Let's get Wisdom of Solomon 2 and 23. Wisdom of Solomon 2 and 23.
This is the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 23.
Read it out.
For God created man to be immortal and made him to be an image of his own eternity.
I went over that eternity piece when I did my class, and it says that you embody time, you transcend time. Mm-hmm. And that's in Isaiah where it says God inhabits eternity, mm-hmm. which means he transcends time. He's outside of time. And then it says he made us to be immortal and to be an image of his own eternity, mm-hmm. meaning that we too, if we did what we were supposed to do, would have had that same inheritance, that same, right, as the father is, right, so is the son. You leave behind you one like yourself. But read the next verse, come on.
Oh, verse 24. Nevertheless, through envy of the devil came death into the world, and they that do hold of his side do find it.
Right, and they that do hold of his side do find it. So he says, we're going to deal with the two things that we just read of that he said he took away from us. Remember in verse 32, he said God is a righteous judge, and he took from us in time the thing that he had given us. He made us to be immortal to begin with, and he gave us the law of life. So he gave us immortality, and he gave us laws to maintain that immortality.
Right.
But in time, because of our transgressions, he took that away from us. Through envy of the devil, Esau, and the other nations, we wanted to be like them. To this day, we want to be like them. So it says, envy not the oppressor and choose none of his ways, because his ways are death. God gave us something better. So he said, you want that? I'm going to give it to you. You're gods, but you're going to die like men. All these things need to be explained to our men so that they understand why you have to be so averse to what's out there in the world. Right. And build your foundation on this Bible. Build your foundation on Christ in this. Let's get Deuteronomy 33 and 4. Deuteronomy 33 and 4.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33 and verse 4.
So we've established that he gave us immortality. And now we're going to show that he also gave us a law. We read it in 2 Ezra. It says he gave us the law of life. Now read this in Deuteronomy 33.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 4.
Read
Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob.
Moses commanded us a law. It says, in even, meaning indeed, the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. That's our heritage. That's our identity. Jeremiah 17 and 4. Jeremiah 17 and 4. So immortality was given to us, but immortality comes by the law.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and verse 4.
Read it out.
And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage.
We see, so God said, remember, we just read in 2 Ezra 14:32, and for as much as he is a righteous judge in righteousness, he took from us in time the thing that he had given us. He had given us the laws. He had given us immortality. And the way to maintain that immortality was by the laws of God. That was the laws of life. And in the process of time, because we envied the oppressor, because we envied the devil, he said, all right, so you envy death then. So I'm going to give you that. Read that again.
And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage.
So I'm going to take those laws from you. You will not keep them. You will forget them. You will forget who you are. Come on.
That I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not.
And you will serve your enemies in the land which you knowest not. Come on.
For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
You have kindled, it'll burn forever, meaning until we change our ways. It'll burn until we change our ways. So he gave us a law of life. And again, we read in 2 Ezra 14:32, and we just read it. He said he'll take it from us because he gave it to us. He took from you in the time the thing that he had given you. Let me get Deuteronomy 28 and 1. You know, a lot of times we go to Deuteronomy and we go straight to the curses. You have to read about this promise of immortality and what he gave to us. Deuteronomy 28 and 1. And again, the emphasis on this is that we're teaching our children these things. This is the conversations we need to be having when we're by the way, when we're walking, and to our brothers that are out there, because they need to understand this, especially in these last times. Come on.
This is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day.
See, you got to understand, the commandments is immortality. Mm-hmm. You want to live forever, and not just live forever. And you see, a lot of times we can't wrap our mind about that, our mind around that, live forever. Because we're thinking live forever the way we are now.
Right.
We're thinking live forever the way the world is now. Mm-hmm. Damn, I got to live forever. I got to find a job each time. Right. I got to freaking try to amass wealth. I got to deal with all this madness and things like that. No, we're talking about living forever with the world and the foundations being the right way, the way they're supposed to be.
That's right.
With everything being the right way it's supposed to be, with us in rulership. That's that live forever. Nobody wants to live forever in this freaking stinkhole.
I know.
Right? No. We want to live forever in righteousness,
that's
in
right.
glory, when we're in our true glory. So that live forever, you have to understand, it always revolves around the commandments. He says, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, come on,
that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
So not only will we have immortality, but we will have immortality as rulers over all nations on the earth. Read on.
And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee.
Ah, just like he said, all the curses, if we didn't. Serve him with joyfulness and gladness of heart would overtake us. He says, but if you do my will, this will overtake you instead. Come on.
And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. Thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.
Uh-huh.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
That's great immortality to have, because it's not going to be in cursings. It's going to be in blessings. Come on.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and and blessed when shalt thou be when thou goest out.
Hey, and you know, so you know you got all these Christians out there talking about I'm blessed and highly favored and all this stuff. Right. No, you lying, because if you ain't keeping God's commandments, right, you not blessed.
That's right.
Because it says you'll be blessed when you keep all his commandments here. Come on, read on.
Verse 7. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face.
Mm.
They shall come out against thee one way for thee seven ways.
Mm, come on.
The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
You know what? A lot of this stuff don't resonate with us because we've never tasted of it. We've never really experienced it. And listen, some of you out there might say, oh, no. Well, au contraire. I'm actually very successful.
Right.
Look, I got this much money. I make this much in my field. Mm-hmm. I have this car and this house. That's not the same thing.
Right.
Esau's level of what he calls success for you is not what God has for success for you. What Esau calls prosperity is not what God has as prosperity.
Right.
It's not the same thing. So you got to look at this and try to embrace this. Our minds cannot fathom this. That's why it seems like a joke. It seems like a fairy tale. It's light stuff to us.
Right.
This is heavy what's being said here.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He's the only one that can grant it to us.
Right.
Come on.
Verse 9. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee.
Holy meaning clean. And how are we going to be clean? The law is holy and just and good.
Right.
And the law is what keeps us clean. What keeps us in good, in righteousness. Come on.
If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his way.
He will establish us as a holy people like unto himself. But all God's trying to do by you keeping these commandments is to make you more like him. And yet we want to rebel against that. Just like the guy said, oh, he said, damn, I had these freaking people rebelling against me. He said, I went away for a little bit and they rebelling against me. What the hell is this? He says that he will make us like unto himself if we just keep the commandments. Come on.
Verse 10. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
That's when all people will acknowledge that we're Israel.
Yes, sir.
They're not afraid of us now.
No, not at all.
Now, look at what they did to this brother that we read at the beginning of the show.
Right.
There ain't no fear in that. And of course not when they're getting off like that.
Right.
So he says here, he says, all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by my name. Versus contrary wise, in verse 37, he says, you're going to be a proverb, a byword, and an astonishment in all the nations of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Verse 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee.
Hey, so this is why it tells you also in the Bible, don't desire a multitude of unruly children.
Right.
It's better you don't have them if that's the case. Because he says, listen, in this day, and when you start doing this, he says the fruit of thy body will be plenteous. You're going to get many more children that are going to be in righteousness. Come on.
Verse 12, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow.
Oh, man, that's that one right there should get you like that. Because,
right,
man, we all jacked up,
right,
perpetually in debt. Those of us who can't get credit,
right?
He says, we're going to lend to many nations, but we will never have to borrow.
Damn.
You know, you talk about be the bank, be the government.
Right.
Hey, that's why Christ says, then are the people free when you're able to collect taxes.
Right.
We ain't going to need to borrow no money from nobody.
The money will be ours.
That, but that's why, listen, not to say that the Most High bless you with a measure of success in this world. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But that ain't, you ain't on the come up in that.
Nah.
Ain't nothing. Come on, get out of here with that madness. Come on, read on. We're going to go to verse 14. Come on.
Verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail.
Ah. If you didn't know it, now you know. You're not the head. We should think and understand that we're royal, right? Remember, we read in Ecclesiastes 10. He said, folly is set in great dignity.
Right.
He says, servants are on horses and princes walking beside them. So he says, hey, when this happens, just by all this happens, you activate this just by keeping his commandments and the faith of Christ.
Right.
Come on.
And thou shalt be above only. And thou shalt not be beneath. if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do
them. Right, if we do that, if we hearken. Read on.
And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them.
Or to go after other gods to serve them. We're almost out of time. I still got half my scriptures left, but I want to give one more, and then, Lord's will, we'll pick it up. Well, actually, no, I have an announcement to make. We won't pick it up next week. We'll probably pick it up the week after. I want the one, is it in Isaiah where he says, everywhere that, yeah. Forget exactly where it is. Everywhere the sole of thy foot shall touch. You know where it is?
I don't.
I'll
find it.
Sole of thy foot.
I have no idea. I think it do
try Joshua 1:1-3.
No, that ain't it. That ain't it. Someone know what I'm talking about. I hate when I do that.
Deuteronomy 28. No.
He's looking for a specific.
Yeah, so every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon?
Nope.
No?
Let me see. Is it Deuteronomy 11? I thought it was Isaiah 11. I always get it twisted. Is Deuteronomy 11? That's it. That's what I wanted. I was thinking 11, but then I don't know why I thought it was Isaiah. 11 and start at... And those wrath be kindled, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain. Start at verse 17. Start at 16.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11 and verse 16.
Read it out.
Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside, and serve other gods, and worship them.
Similar words, right? We just read that in Deuteronomy 28, right? Mm-hmm. Where he says, don't do those things, and then these blessings will come upon you, right? So he's telling you very similarly, and he says, take heed upon yourself. Remember, we read in 2 Ezra 14 that he was going to take away from us that he gave us, right, because of our transgressions. But if we return, we remember all these things, he says he'll give it back to us, right? Read on. Come on.
Verse 17, and then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven.
Right. We read that in Jeremiah 17:4. He said, we've kindled a fire. Of him against us, of hatred that'll burn forever. Come on.
And he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you.
Right, again, giving you the opposite of the blessings that we just read. Read on.
Verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul.
So this is how we take heed that we be not deceived, that we don't let that interference and that insolence and that disloyalty that's out there. We got to have these conversations. We got to have this talk with our children, with the man boys. Come on, read.
And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they be as frontlets between your eyes.
Read on.
And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house.
Same thing like we read in Deuteronomy 6. Come on.
And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up.
Come on.
And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied.
Come on. So he says, now he's giving you more context to all these things that we've read in different parts of the scriptures. Here a little and there a little. And then he says, do all these things so that your days may be multiplied. Come on.
And the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them.
He says, and I swore to give the land to your fathers to give them. Read on.
As the days of heaven upon the earth.
As the days of heaven upon the earth. Read on.
For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves.
Just from keeping the commandments. Come on.
Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And from the wilderness of Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be.
Come on.
There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you.
And read on. We're going to do these last couple verses.
Verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse.
That's what we read in Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And then from 15 through 68. The first was the blessing that we just read. And then most of us are very familiar with all the curses. He says, listen, I'm giving you a choice. You have a blessing and you have a curse. Come on, read.
A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day.
You will get the blessings if you if this law that I give you, that I command you. And with that comes immortality. Read on.
And a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known.
Right. So these are foundational things that we need to continue to talk about, especially as we try to build up these strong men in these last days. These are the things that build the foundation of an avenger, of a strong man, to build that type of stuff out. I have several more scriptures that I would like to go over on this particular. This is just the overview piece. We're going to deal with more granular aspects of it, of how men need to deal with women, how we need to deal with work and things of that type. Laws, will, life, last, and we have time to continue to review that stuff. Do y'all have any closing thoughts on any of this stuff that we brought out?
It's a lot to meditate on.
Hey, all praises, all praises. Hey, do we have the promo ready for next week? So we won't be going over this next week, all right?
Yes, sir.
Because we have a special guest. You know, we have brothers and sisters that are always reaching out, so we can try to speak to certain individuals that can tie into some of our history. And one of the things we did was we had at one time on the show, we had the founder and former leader of the Brown Berets, okay, on the show, Dr. David Sanchez, and we were able to interview him. Now, the Brown Berets, if you're unfamiliar, brothers and sisters, they essentially, the easiest way to look at it is they were the equivalent and modeled after the Black Panthers, but that was Issachar. That was the so-called Mexicans, and they were fighting for those same type of rights because Ephraim and Judah were oppressed together. And you have this vibe out there that, you know, they were not any so-called Northern Kingdom revolutionaries. We didn't go through similar types of things, but it was the same type of fight. The Brown Berets was one of them. Another one lasted for a shorter amount of time that was Ephraim-centric, so-called Puerto Ricans, was the Young Lords, all right? So this particular sister that we're going to have on the show actually wrote a book about the Young Lords. She has some insight into them, kind of keeping their legacy alive. And even though they might not have kept the commandments, that's probably the only thing that was lacking, but their mind and their heart was in the right place as far as fighting for their people and unifying against our oppressors. All right, so let's pull up the promo for her. I see a blank screen. Just beige. Oh, you have it like that? Oh, it's a video. Okay. Is there any sound? Was that it?
No, sir, there's no sound.
Okay, all right.
It's just a small promo.
Was it there? Oh, I was hoping we would have had the little write-up on her that I had posted in the group. Do you have that picture? I had posted it in the, was it the officers or the soldiers group? Or did I post it in the Power Hour?
That's just the Northern Kingdom?
Yes, she is, all right? I want to read the write-up on her. I thought I posted it after Sabbath last week. And you guys,
I'm like, she got it.
No, did I not put it there? Was it in the officers group that I put it?
I don't recall seeing it in the soldiers
group. No, so it might have been the officers group. Hold on. Let me try to go to...
That's our Ephraimite.
Let me go here. Yeah, y'all talk. I want to pull this up.
It was super long.
You don't usually see Northern Kingdom with hair like that.
Not really. You'll see more Edomites.
Right.
Let me pull this up. I took it as a screenshot.
Yes, sir.
No, not files, media. I want to read her write-up so they know who we're talking about. I thought that's what you guys would put.
I was walking through I was grocery shopping yesterday, and I hear behind me, Shalom. I turn around. It's a Judah sister with pants on.
Mm-mm, the hell is this?
I'm like, man.
Man, can somebody help me find it? I sort of, Shai is talking about that. I put it in there. I don't see it now.
She say, I started talking to her. I was like, sis, where your friend is at?
Right.
She was like,
see.
She said the camp I was with taught me that if I wear that stuff, it makes me a target to Esau. was like, wow. Yeah, I was like, yes, yeah, sis, you know, you're supposed to be letting, you know, our light shine.
Right.
She goes, you with a camp? I was like, yeah. She's like, who? I was like, IUIC, you heard of them? She goes, oh, yeah, Nate. I was like, sis, you need to put some respect on that. It's Bishop Nathaniel.
Okay, let me send this to you.
You don't know that, man. It's called Nate. You know what I mean? Yeah. But this officer, bro, she
was like, we had a run-in with it was a sister that was at, what was it, Ross? We walked in. She was behind us checking out.
I just sent it to the power.
She's like, she knew who we were because we wore fringes. We're like, all praises. But then she darted out of the store. Like she just, and then we're like, where's you? No dress, no fringes. Right. She's like, the commandments have to be written on our heart. We don't have to do that no more.
So what the heck does that mean? The commandments got to be written in your heart. That's exactly right. So if they're in your heart, that means you do them.
I was going to say, if you have in your mind the commandments to keep fringes in your mind when you wake up in the morning and be like, it's written there, let me put these on.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
a commandment.
Come on, man.
How would you feel if you left the house one day without them? You know what I mean?
All right. So this is Dr. Johanna Fernandez, all right? She's an associate professor of history at Baruch College in the City University of New York. She's the author of The Young Lords, A Radical History, all right? It's a history of the Puerto Rican counterpart of the Black Panther Party. Dr. Fernandez teaches 20th century U.S. history and the history of social movements. She's the host of A New Day, WBAI's morning show, from 7 to 8 a.m., Monday and Wednesday through Friday at 99.5 FM in New York. Dr. Fernandez's recent research and litigation has unearthed an arsenal of primary documents now available to scholars of the public. Her freedom of information law lawsuit against the NYPD led to the recovery of the lost Handushu files, the largest repository of police surveillance records in the country, namely over 1 million surveillance files of New Yorkers compiled by the NYPD between 1954 and 1972. Those New Yorkers that they were surveilling were our people who were in these movements.
Right.
To fight for our rights. Notice that's like the civil rights era, including those of Malcolm X. She is the editor of Writing on the Wall, Selected Prison Writings of Mumia Abu-Jamal. With Mumia Abu-Jamal, she co-edited a special issue of the journal Socialism and Democracy titled The Roots of Mass Incarceration in the U.S., Locking Up Black Dissidents and Punishing the Poor. So the sister has an emphasis in her history teaching of identifying and try to keep alive like the struggles and the fights
right.
that many of our people have dealt with. Lord's will, we will be interviewing her next Wednesday, all right? So she right. will be a special guest. You'll want to tune in. It's always good to get a different perspective of those type of fights and those struggles so that we can then, you know, see how we can apply some of those type of behaviors to what we're doing in these scriptures, all right? So I pray everybody got edified, all right? Sorry for the little hiccup here with that thing. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, we need the support on the IUIC Phoenix page, and not just YouTube. We definitely want the subscribers there. Check us out across all the social media platforms. Like, subscribe, all right? Lord's will, we can continue to bring out various topics that have been edifying for the people. Damn, what the hell, was that the street call again?
I don't know,
man. These guys, bro. Shy leaves these guys in the booth, man. It was pretty all right today. You had a little hiccups here. It was like it's never, goodness gracious. Anyway, y'all have a good evening. Stay safe out there, all right? And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Leg out. Israel is back. We back. Israel is back. We got the nations running here because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them low. When the Lord returns, Babylon will fall. Pre-death solid. We got them on lock. God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack.